This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
The more people that know gay people, the more the mystery is solved, and the all the discrimination kind of falls away and all of that. But still, there's rural, and I know there's a lot of rural queers. I know a lot of
Suburbanite boys.
I know a lot of gay GLBT people prefer to live in the country. They don't like the big city, and but they don't really feel they have the protections there.
No, they don't have the protection there, because I mean, if you hang a flag out in the middle of somewhere, somebody's gonna, you know, that's a target. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that is a big target. You know, and it's just, you know, the FBI states that, you know, there's been over 113,000 hate crime incidents since 1991. That's a lot of hate crime incidents. You know, and this, you know, there's so many things, you know, there's so many things that are not getting reported is what just blows my mind. You know, you got, I mean, I just, yes, stop, step in.
No. We got ID the show.
We do.
Oh, that's what you're trying to tell me. I'm sorry. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now broadcasting in high-definition radio. If you want to find out more about what's going on that channel, go to kpft.org. Right now it's the BBC.
Oh, I know you had some reservations about this whole thing, Chris.
At the beginning, it's, you know, we
and as you
do, forgive me for it's a little warm in here. I'm starting to get a headache. That's why I'm kind of
Well, let me say something. I've learned from other people's mistakes, and I've been watching things that people mistakes. So I see and identify those things and make sure not to do the same.
Good.
That's what I've been watching for 20 years about all this. So it's time that I start looking at.
He's not that old, is he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've just been been preserved.
No, when we were first approached with this, yes, there was. I'm the devil's advocate of the show.
Yeah, me. I'm like, oh, yeah, come on, none show it.
Yeah, if it wasn't for him, I don't know what would happen here sometimes.
Hey, a little quiet in the studio, please.
Okay.
Love the finger pointing in there. You know, it's one of those things when you start seeing some of this stuff and just seeing which direction you're coming from with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, when we first looked at this stuff, I was a little hesitant with that. And, you know, that's what got me out of bed at, you know, noon on a Sunday to come all the way back here into town. You know, Jimmy just has to freshen up and come a little blocks over. He lives around the corner. I live in the country.
Oh Lord, country boy.
Tomball.
I work in Tomball, live in Willowbrook. So, but no, after talking with you, you put away a lot of my fears of what it is you're trying to do, and it sounds like it's a noble cause of trying to do this, and you're not reinventing the wheel. You're just basically
I'm trying to put another spoke
wheel
in it.
Yeah,
there's a spoke in it.
We'll keep the country thing there. You're putting a dually on it.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
You're putting a second wheel on there to complement it.
You know, I look at it like this.
I look at the big truck with the two wheels in the back.
If someone that I know that when this happened to me, if I had somebody who had the knowledge of the legal system or the people to contact and things like that, I would have done that. You know, I would have waited the next day till I got, you know, sober, and then go do it. But I didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
You know, now if I get somebody to help me, you know, do the paperwork and things like that, go to the county courthouse and help me in this. Yeah. That's what we want to do. You know, we want to help. You know, because you'll know, I got 10 hours on the computer every day. I don't do anything except go to the, you know, get on the computer, find out what's going on, surf the internet, find out what's going on in the world, you know, and that's why I'm, you know, building on this organization. You know, we've got France, Italy, Germany already on there. So the more people that we get on there,
absolutely,
and the more people will be reporting to this website about what's going on, you know, and then I can, you know, look into it, you know.
What's important about you, though, is that you can reach people
who
are unreachable to any other means. I mean, people in the Montrose, a lot of them, some of them, know that they can call the gay and lesbian switchboard and do their reporting, and the switchboard will walk them through it. But the people in small towns around don't know that.
Exactly.
And I don't know that they would actually trust the gay and lesbian switchboard.
Exactly.
It would be too much of a big city thing. They wouldn't maybe understand it, or some they may not speak the same language.
Well, they might be afraid that all of a sudden some vehicle is going to pull up with rainbow stickers
certainly
blue
nothing,
and gold equals signs.
Nothing against the gay and lesbian switchboard. They do a fantastic job. Right. I know the folks over there. I was with the switchboard for 15 years. But you speak a language, and what you're doing is reaching people that I don't think can be reached any other way.
Well, if I can do that just one time, I've made my day.
Absolutely.
I've made my day.
Yeah.
One soul that I've helped. You know, I mean, because there are issues when you get gay bashed. You got the trauma. You got you start to have medical issues. You know, anxiety, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and people need help. People need
help.
They do. People need help. You know, I'm here.
And that is the being alone is the last thing that they need.
Yeah.
At that particular time.
Yeah, and plus, and I don't care about, just like me, man. I got an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I got a real attitude. I'm a real jerk when you're dealing with the government. I don't play no James.
Mm-hmm.
I got two words for you, zero tolerance.
Okay.
They got zero tolerance. We can have zero tolerance, too. But it's just the people that you get hold of, you know. Also, I've got our friend Ray has got me hold of with Barney Frank, and I'm fixing to make some phone calls to him and tell him that you know, it's a lot of things that I need to get straight.
I love your enthusiasm with
this project. It's time for a change. You know, I'm sick and tired of having these people think that they can run over us.
And I think you can make a change.
I got a big mouth. And I'll tell them, you know, I mean, if they don't want to debate me, I would love a debate.
When you thought I wasn't going to schedule you, I know about your big mouth.
Yeah, I know I got a big mouth. Because, man, you know what? If I could save just one life, that's all I care about, man. You know, but I know there's a lot more in these. You got gay teens in schools who are being beat up. I don't like that crap at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let me tell you something. Media is a powerful channel. I got state of Texas looking at me right now.
Okay, what's that website again?
It's gaycivilrights.ning.com.
Okay, I want you to keep repeating that interview because I want people to know that.
Because we got, you know, we're a small organization, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get, you know, I'm not going to get no federal funding because I don't want the government in my business.
Okay,
that's just the way I am.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to pay for it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want you know, the government in other people's business, not my business. You know, and that's I want there. I'm serious. And
don't we all feel that way?
Oh, I just, you know, and with this Matthew Shepard Act, it gives the Justice Department authority to investigate local cities just to get they get wind of it. So I'm going to be that wind, you know. And November, I have me, Ray, and Ron, attorney, is going to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Well, they got an agenda they're doing. I got an agenda I'm fixing to do.
Okay. This is for the march on Washington.
Yeah. Yes, I got some things that I want to do, and it's getting up there.
Okay, good.
So
maybe you can touch base with Barney up there.
Yeah, I want to meet this man. I want to get a picture with him and just try to, you know, because he authored this. You know, he really did. And Well, that's what I was told, you know, and then I started doing a little bit of research, but I think that's pretty much it. I do appreciate you bringing me on.
I want you to keep us updated.
Oh, we'll. I want this right here to be an outlet for my information that I get to you.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I want to bring. It's like an intelligence operation,
that's
you know.
That's what we're here for.
I want to bring the information that, you know, to get out to the public, you know. You know that I've already got another website on another issue that's bringing me all kinds of information.
Uh-huh.
And that is a godsend.
Good.
So now this is what we're doing here.
Okay.
So,
Folks, go out there and get online and go to
gaycivilrights.ning.com.
N-I-N-G.
I-N-G. And you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you
very much.
Thank you,
Jimmy. Thanks. Bring him anytime.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
You survived that.
I survived.
See, we weren't bad to you.
Yeah, that's good.
We weren't bad to you.
It's time to crank it up, baby.
All right, so we're going to go to music, or it's time for another PSA, or what the hell are we doing?
Let's do a little bit of music, get our next segment in. And
Leather Ties is in the wings.
Oh, yep. Leather Ties is here, baby.
They are waiting in the wings, so I got a couple songs queued up.
Okay.
One of ours and one of theirs. So
we'll be right back.
resurrection. Life into life, into me, into you. Touch my skin, let's try to win this fight. Ease the tension, pray for divine intervention. Flesh is the way we feel. Flesh is the love we steal. Flesh. Flesh. Flesh is the way we feel. Flesh is the love we steal. Flesh. Lunatic inside my head, a fly in a Venus trap pie. Solid state, let me rip into you die. But with a smile and smile with a cry. Primal, organic, robotic, hypnotic bait. Drill for blood and a deep dark release. Smile and dive into the grease. Red light running with the sex police. Flesh is the way we feel. Flesh is the love we steal. Flesh. Flesh is the way we feel. Flesh is the love we steal. Flesh.
Flesh.
Blood filling up plastic jugs with thick red fear. So drill and spill me a beautiful tear. The difference between us is complete. Both killers and both meat. Raw and red, already dead. Burying each other in a burning bed. Flesh is the way we feel. Flesh is the love we steal. Flesh. Flesh is the way we feel. Flesh is the love we steal. Flesh.
Good evening. Welcome to After Hours. This is Leather Ties segment. I'm Daddy Bear Robert with my co-host, Master Buzz Lawson.
Hello.
How you doing?
Ah.
Here with Baby Bear also.
Hello.
Say hello. Hey, that microphone's way too high for you.
There I thought go. I was taller.
Yeah. Yeah, taller, right. Okay.
Taller than what?
Yeah, if he shrinks another inch, we get disability, right? We're here tonight with a couple of gentlemen from Impact. Please say hello. Yes, say hello,
hello.
To Ruben.
How are you doing?
Doing well. And Trevor.
Hey there.
Good to meet you both. Impact Houston, let's just get into it. What is Impact Houston?
Well, Impact Houston is a task force that has recently started. And what we are doing is we are composed of several members of the gay community, healthcare community, different sectors of our society here in Houston, to try to figure out why the rates of HIV and STDs are going up in the MSM community. That's men having sex with men. Hello.
Well, I think we all know why.
Oh,
but
yes.
What
yes.
are we going to do to counteract it, I think,
well,
is the issue.
And that is exactly what we... What we've got together for is to try to combat that. It seems
start
like
the education process all over again for a whole new generation.
It seems like that's exactly what has to happen because
the horse isn't dead yet. We still need to whip it.
We
call Catherine the Great.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay, that was a crude reference for those history buffs that know what I was talking about. Okay.
No.
So basically, we've come here this evening. We're executive board members. We need community input, as well as we're going to be educating our community tonight. So I want to keep it light and happy and joyfully. And
we're going to have some heavy subject matter here. And we're
good
gonna
luck
be,
with
we're
that.
We're going to be brutally honest, but we're going to have a good time doing it like we always
love
do.
Honesty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't like it, I got floggers in the car. We'll go there.
Oh, I've got five more at home if yours aren't enough.
Yeah, and you live close by. You could run home and get them.
Yeah, buddy. Are you kidding? I could have them delivered.
Okay, so Impact, is it just Impact or Impact Houston?
M-PACT. Impact.
M-PACT. What's your website address?
Phenomenally, it's the same thing. So basically, it's www.m-pact.com. Houston.org.
Excellent.
And of course, our email is the same thing with WHY at MPACHouston.org.
So anybody that needs any info, instead of doing info, which is so boring, you put Y. That's cool. Right?
Well, why? Different. Because we're asking, why is it still happening? Why are HIV infectious rates going up in our city? And especially in a community that should really know it. If you remember, at the beginning of stages of the early days of AIDS.
Back when they called it GRIDS.
GRID, gay-related immunodeficiency disease. Well, guess what?
Yeah, in this country, everywhere else in the world, is a straight disease.
Well,
yeah.
The gay community was marked for this illness.
Yeah,
and
they called it the gay cancer.
Now we have come to find out that is not the case. It's not something by your gender. It's not something by your color. It's not something by your sexual preference. It has everything to do with a set of components that will give you the virus. And we know it to be unsafe sex is the most common way of communicating.
Yeah, the second most common is what? Toilet seats? Bathroom stalls?
No,
tapping?
Right. No,
only if you're in Washington, D.C. doing the tappy-tap under the stall, right?
Well, there are some viruses and some diseases you can get. HIV you cannot get from
not
a toilet seat.
Not one of them.
No.
Yes.
No, but I would be concerned with other things like hepatitis and things
that,
too.
Definitely, because that's stuff that can survive outside the body for days. So,
AIDS is not transmissible except through the exchange of body fluids. That would be blood, semen, plasma. You have to exchange body fluids. And all of this information has been out here so long. My question why is, since this education is everywhere, right at your fingertips, and has been, it has been rammed down this community's throat for so long, why you so stupid?
Well, what we're really seeing, especially with younger generation, my generation, who this disease has been around for our
Trevor,
lifetime.
He's in a room full of old guys. He's my generation.
I don't mind.
No, that's cool. daddy fix. Okay,
really,
here we go.
In my generation, we've never known a time in our lives without HIV or AIDS. However, my experience, and at least anecdotally, a great amount of information was decimated among the community up until the mid-90s. After that, information just fell off or disappeared because, really, of the advancement of the antiretrovirals, people's attitudes changed. There was
switch. I think the biggest problem we have to combat is people think HIV is just, it's manageable. It's like diabetes or high blood pressure. Pop a pill and you'll be okay.
That's actually what I've heard a lot of.
You know what? Don't take the chance of having to pop pills for the rest of your life. You don't need to sit on medication if you can do something. If you can be proactive about your own life and your own health.
And just for all of those out there who think that, okay, this is manageable, it just means taking a couple of pills every day, let me explain to you. I know several people who have to take these pills every day. If they don't take them, they get sick. And if they take them, they get the side effects.
And
like having screaming diarrhea,
and it's
explosive
not just popping,
diarrhea every day.
And it's not just taking a pill or two a day. It's like taking a regimen of anywhere between 5 and 20 pills, three times a day.
50 pills a day.
50 pills a day.
Yes.
Well, and it's not just the fact that HIV is...
That was Jimmy.
...transmittable. It has to do with the fact, too, that people who are positive, having unsafe sex with other people that are positive, the fact of antiviral resistance...
Right.
...has now become an issue also.
Mm-hmm. Because
and you have to...
Go ahead.
And you have to watch that you could get a different strain of HIV that can take you from a being... undetectable and having a high CD4 count, and it'll drop you into being just as bad, if not worse, than
you were
before.
Put you in a hospital in a week, yeah. But
the
I think
you heard on our side was the fact we're making the comment after Jimmy saying he takes 50 pills. It's like, how does he have time to eat?
That is a meal.
That's
how,
a meal.
But yeah, that's how he keeps that svelte figure of his.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, with his little protease belly. Yeah,
yeah, protease belly. Yeah, oh, that's a... Yeah.
You just need to find some way to
shoot
it around
your
ass.
Never goes away, folks.
I just thought he ate too much rice.
Anytime you think that all you have to do is pop a few pills, come sit and talk to me. I've had this disease for over 25 years. I'll tell you about it.
And I've been living with this disease for 12 years. So
Ruben.
I am, yes, Ruben, I can tell you it's not been fun. When I started on 14 pills a day.
That's starting. So if you think just one little happy pill is going to get you through today, it's not.
No, because then you get the side effects. You take more
That's
pills
right.
for
you
those.
Got, and those pills cause side effects. So you got to take more for that. It's just never ending.
Yes. Yeah.
And you have to figure that these pills, this regimen of pills, costs in tens of thousands of dollars per month. And if you don't have insurance, if Medicare isn't covering it, you could end up going without your medication because of the current political climate. Thank you, George W. Bush.
Yes,
and then,
well,
yes.
But there are stopgaps in force for that. The Ryan White
Foundation,
right.
Yes, there are, but so, still... there are a lot of agencies that will, they're great for kids, they're great for straight women and people who get this, or, you know, but when it comes to gay men, well, there's still that attitude, you deserve it.
Well, we still have
and
some...
And it's really hard for gay men to get medication the way a kid can get medication.
Mm-hmm. But...
Because that poor kid got it through a transfusion or...
Their parents.
You know.
And keep in mind, Ryan White was part of that lump, that group
yes,
of AIDS-related charities that lost one-third of their federal funding
yeah.
due to an executive order. One-third of the funding across the board, federal funding for AIDS-related assistance programs was cut. So Ryan White suffered, too. So there are now people out there who cannot get their medications because the money isn't there.
Right.
Right. Well, at least we're fortunate here in Houston. We are at least making
right.
it and covering it. I know I'm a part of that process within the Planning Council. So it's a road that is very hard to hoe, I'm telling you. But when it comes down to it, we have a magnificent community that steps up to the plate. We have magnificent agencies, Legacy Health Services. We have Thomas Street Clinic to be there, as well as other organizations
yeah.
like Hacks and
I can't sing Thomas Street Clinic's praises enough. They are
right.
an incredible group of people that do so much.
Well, and people don't realize
so
when it comes to the fact of, oh, it's just taking a drug. Drugs are something that are not normal in your system. They do damage to your system, whether you're taking a blood pressure medication, mm-hmm. whether you're taking something for diabetes. All these medications have an effect on your body. And if you look at the effects that HIV medications have on you, they're a whole lot worse than a lot of other medications.
Yeah, because some of those medications are actually more toxic than the disease itself.
Yeah, bottom line
is toxic as chemo.
Bottom yeah. line is let's poison the patient to manage the disease.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
the,
what chemo is. I mean,
in the earlier exactly. in the earlier days of AIDS, in the time of AZT, when the first protease was coming out, and that was the doctor's way of... They were pretty much guinea pigs, those
yeah.
who have died to this disease and left before us.
They say, I've got nothing else to lose, I'll volunteer.
Yes.
Make me a guinea pig, let's see if it works. If it doesn't, well, I'm going to die anyway.
And it wasn't until 1996 when the first really good phase of entry inhibitors came in, protease inhibitors came through the door with some effective regimens. They were starting to understand how it interacted with it. With the virus, and now that's what's making it easier now. But given that is what's given today's generation
the talking points of, oh, well, if I get it, I'll manage it, and we'll just take a couple pills.
Well, I started in HIV research back in 96.
For those of you who don't know or don't remember, Baby Bear is an RN, and he's in pharmaceutical research, and he knows all about this stuff. So
when I started working,
when he talks, listen.
when I started working in research in 96, the world changed. I had patients that were going from, you know, being on disability, having to have assisted living, and they would go back to being able to live on their own, go back to work, come off disability. That was a big change because the protease inhibitors came out.
And people were...
And people got lax. All of a sudden, when that happened, they thought, oh, wow, I don't have to worry about it as much.
Yeah, because it's not killing us.
Right.
Right.
Well, and then
that fast anymore.
Right. And then you had to deal with the issues that people weren't understanding how the frequency of taking their medication appropriately, whether it had to be on a full stomach, on an empty stomach.
Without water.
And you know, without grapefruit juice.
Don't drink milk. You can't do this. You can't do that.
And, you know, over the years, they've worked on making...
They take their pills, and then they go get a grapefruit and vodka.
Oh,
at
no.
The bar.
Well, that's been done. Yes, I've heard that.
Here, what were you going to say?
And basically, you know, what's a lot of time has been spent on is trying to make regimens that are easier for people to take so they don't have the time restrictions, so they don't have the issues. I mean, that didn't start until 98 when they started really working on that. But I mean, at the beginning of the protease inhibitors, it was still tough. You know, you had to take, say you were on Crixivan, you had to take it every 8 hours. You had plus or minus an hour to take that medication.
You had to set an alarm to take your medication.
Exactly.
One thing your generation will not know or remember, because you didn't live through it, Trevor. When I first moved to this city back in the early 80s, I had friends who were diagnosed, would come home from work to their apartment and have everything they owned on the street because the apartment complex would find out they were positive, and they would literally kick them out of the apartment, throw everything they owned on the street. Mm-hmm. I've had friends come home and had all their belongings set on fire in the middle of the street because they had to burn it in case.
Well, not just apartment complexes, families would kick out their own family members, throw them out on the street.
People would lose their jobs.
And it's, I think, the one thing your generation doesn't really comprehend and get the whole impact of is what we went through back in the early 80s.
Absolutely.
And all the discrimination against us.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that, we would not be where we are now as far as AIDS education and the research that has been done. We would not be where we are now had the fire not been lit by GMHC, the gay men's health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Managed from coast to coast, started in New York, I believe, and in San Francisco.
Right.
And it was because of GMHC getting lawyers, funeral homes, counseling for people who were living with this, who were diagnosed. Back then, a diagnosis was a death sentence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were diagnosed, and 2 months later, you were dead.
If it hadn't been for GMHC, we wouldn't be where we are now. Because they pushed the legal limits, they pushed the edge of that envelope, and that, from what I gather, is what IMPACT is about. You're bringing back that fervor.
Maybe. You're talking about a movement. We're talking about a task. Right now,
that's all GMHC was.
Well, and right now, we're evaluating what's going on.
But
move it to the next level, that's a possibility. But until we can actually...
The thing is... The bigger issue at hand is every city is left to develop its own plan, which is not what every other developed country is doing. We're the only developed nation in the world that has no plan to address HIV/AIDS.
Of course not. We can't even agree that we need national health insurance.
But we demand that every other nation does have a plan.
Oh, we have a plan for everybody else.
Oh, yeah. But we can't. Yeah, practice what you preach, people. That's all I got to say.
I don't know how many of you watched Boston Legal tonight, but there was a really great argument for hypocrisy.
Nobody watches Boston Legal. Nobody likes William Shatner. Blah. Okay. The only time I liked William Shatner was when he died in that one Star Trek movie and everybody was trying to kill, like,
James Spader gave a great argument about the hypocrisy of our government.
Anyway, that's not what we're here tonight to talk about. I think the difference between the Impact Houston and the other groups is that other group started out more as a militant group. Impact Houston, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not trying to be militant.
No.
You're trying to be more educational.
We're really trying to identify a new way of getting this information out there. Because, like I said before, after the mid-90s, that was the peak of information. It just died off. I can remember no education when I was in high school, no information when I was in college. And people really are just sticking their heads in the ground about it again. So we're actually reverting.
Well, I don't know. Is it so much that, or is it just there's so much information out there and people, we've just gotten complacent about, well, you know where to go to find it, so why should we come to you?
Who's the last big name that you can name that has come out to speak about AIDS?
I think that AIDS education in the schools was legislated out of schools by the government.
Yes, yeah. It was, and that's a huge failing. And if you speak to individuals in the community that I grew up in, it's still the same old, it can't happen to me, it doesn't happen here. But the second it does, you know, they're ostracized from the community,
you become
a pariah,
yeah.
Yes, and I've written an article about this, and there's huge mental ramifications about having to be somebody living with HIV or AIDS in the community that we're not addressing, that make individuals even sicker.
So are you trying to obtain more information then in the beginning at this point, which
exactly.
is what a task force is for?
That's exactly. We're investigating.
And then you're going to do the education?
We're basically going to go for our first course of action is to see what's out there already, what's being done, what has been done. And then we're going to think outside the box and see what can we do differently. How can we reach a target audience? Things are so much more easy to access now with this generation than it was in our generation. In our generation,
Jeez,
it was the bar
even,
scene,
there was no such thing as
the
internet.
Bathhouses,
I mean, come on.
And the strip. That's it. That was our little
yeah.
place here in the Montrose. But now that's expanded to the virtual world.
Yeah.
So now it's online man-to-man, it's Craigslist.
But again, that's what I think the big issue is you say that this new generation of, you know, 20 to 35-year-olds, they don't have... There's really no access to that
even
information.
Younger.
But, yeah.
You want to include 13 to 24
but what I'm
is
saying
a
is,
big
I
group.
Think we have gotten so complacent in the fact that it's been around so long, we just automatically assume that you know where to go to find this information.
Okay, I'll carry that
advent,
a step further.
With the advent of the internet, it's like, well, you can just look it up online. We don't really need to get out there and do anything. And it's like, no, you do. You still need to be out there. You still need to be
okay,
physical
Trevor
force.
Addressed the ostracization. I have to say that my experience has been exactly opposite of what you're discussing, that people with AIDS are ostracized. I have exactly the opposite problem. I'm ostracized because 90% of the people in the bar scene are HIV positive. They claim it. They proclaim it. They trade meds. Oh, I'm out of this. Do you have a couple extra? And if you don't have HIV, you're ostracized. You're not part of the club.
Wow, I've never experienced that. Or
no,
me
to be honest, yes, I have. I have had people come
I've
up
heard
to me,
that too.
And
yeah.
you know, and people I've gotten to know. We start dating. Well, no, I'm not going to have sex with you because you're HIV negative, and since you're negative and I'm positive, there's no way we can do anything.
That's why I brought up the issue of cross resistance.
Yes,
because people who are HIV positive think they can have unprotected sex with somebody else who's HIV positive.
Well,
and you can't.
No.
It still has to be protected.
And
that's
here's
right.
not just the different strains of HIV now that we're having to deal with, but the other big issue is if you're on this protease inhibitor and you're on that protease inhibitor, or you're on this drug and he's on that drug, if you're barebacking, you're basically...
Exchanging
drugs,
yeah,
and then if that guy you just bareback needs to go on that medication, his body's already built up tolerance and it won't work on his body.
That's the same thing as the strain,
right?
Well, that kind
so
of information
is the strain
isn't being
difference.
Decimated. I mean,
right.
This kind of information isn't being put out there, and that's one of the things that I'm hoping we can accomplish with Impact is getting the reality out there.
I think the easiest way to scare people who are barebacking that already pause and think, well, because I'm paused, I can bear back. Flat out, there are multiple strains of HIV, and they've even got one, the super HIV that has hit, that it's resistant to all drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, if you're barebacking, whatever drug you're taking or whatever drugs that person you're playing with is taking, you're going to be immune to those drugs, so they won't work on you. And there's only so many drugs out there that can help treat you.
26
And you just knock those combinations out.
This virus has shown an amazing ability to mutate beyond the effectiveness of available medications.
Oh, those damn monkeys, I swear.
Well, what happens...
Had to eat a monkey, didn't they?
What happens is
monkey brains.
If you are on your meds and you take what is known as a drug holiday, means I want to go out and party Friday night, so I'm not going to take my meds. I'm going to drink instead.
Yeah.
So people justify that way in their mind, then they go out and they party, they haven't taken their drugs, now they've missed a dose, now their baseline of the medicine that should be in their body is no longer there.
They've thrown their whole system
off. It's now given their army that was fighting against the virus army a suppressed...
Yeah, you just killed a battalion in that little army in your body.
And now the virus
disease.
Army... attacks and figures it out.
Best excuse I can give you, the best example I can give you, my sister, when she was a teenager, went on the pill.
Oh, no.
And when you're on the pill, you have to take the pill every day. Well, my sister would forget sometimes. So, on the weekend, she'd look and say, oh, I've got 3 pills left, I'll just pop them now. Guess who got pregnant? Mm. You gotta take it every day or it doesn't work.
It's because you have to maintain a certain level of that medication in your system. That's what you were talking about, the baseline.
Right.
You have to maintain that level of medication in your system at all times. If you skip a day, that level goes down and you give the enemy the impetus.
But that's no different than taking a blood pressure medication. You have to do the same thing with a blood pressure medication. You have to keep a constant blood level. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get the benefit of the drug, and in the case of HIV, you're going to actually be doing more damage than you are doing yourself any good.
And the problem that I'm seeing a lot, I volunteer at my local clinic. I'm a patient mentor there. So I see new diagnoses come in all the time. I see patients in the way that they are either adhering or not adhering to the regimen of care. And the misconception that people get out in their minds out there when they're HIV negative and they're thinking they have nothing to worry about is all of a sudden there's this brick wall that gets put in front of you and you are confused for a little while when you find out you are diagnosed with HIV because you don't know which way to turn and what to do.
Mm.
And basically, you know, I'm at a loss to those who have already been in a position in their life that they've never maintained their health, they've never had a good relationship with their doctor, they've never been true to themselves, true that you know how you abuse your body, you know what drugs you've taken, you know what illicit drugs you've taken, you know your sexual habits, you know how you nourish it, and if you can't be true to yourself and say, you know, I'm doing some things that are pretty risky and would put me in a risky place, then you're going to get this disease.
Do you really think they're of that mindset while they're doing that, though?
But,
they know these things are risky, but do you think they're actually in mind of that?
Well, whether they're in mind or not, I don't think is the issue. The issue is the fact that they're not thinking of it.
That's what you have to wake them up to, is being in mind
exactly.
of these things. Okay, party is really wonderful, but, you know, live fast, die young, leave a pretty corpse. Trust me, corpses are not pretty.
Yeah. I've buried many.
Yeah.
Yeah, so have I. I'm sick of funerals.
Well, I think what we're going to do, we need to take a little break here. We've got some KPFT business to take care of, and then we will be back with Leather Ties and After Hours.
Yeah, and we'll be back in a few, guys.
Hello, Pacifica listeners. My name is Dr. Helen Caldicott, and I'm here to talk about Pacifica Radio and how at this very point in time, you, the listener, are crucial to its survival. You have the chance to participate in this network in a profoundly meaningful way. The Pacifica election process has begun, and you can actually serve on the local governing boards that have real power to make significant changes. And changes have to be made. The financial crisis is not the only problem plaguing Pacifica. Accountability and truly democratic governance must be restored to Pacifica stations if the network is to survive. As you know, your radio station isn't run by a media mogul, a bunch of rich cronies, or a bunch of slick advertising people. It's actually run by the people who care about it. You. Media democracy? Democracy in media? Sounds strange, doesn't it? Almost un-American. But it's true. The five radio stations owned by the Pacifica Foundation are controlled by their members. That's right, you members out there who've donated $25 or more in the last year are about to decide the fate of this precious media consortium. I had a weekly talkback show on Pacifica's WBAI in New York for 3 years when the anti-nuclear and environmental movements were just about to take off throughout the country. We reached a growing, enthusiastic and participatory audience in three contiguous states. We were able to educate and mobilize thousands of people to actively participate in these issues. The same can be said for countless other struggles and victories over the last 60 tumultuous years that Pacifica has been on the air in this country. Now I have my own weekly radio show called If You Love This Planet, which plays on many Pacifica stations and is both entertaining and educational. I interview some of the most important scientists, activists and thinkers in the world, as well as film stars and doyens of the media, including Helen Thomas, the Dean of the White House Press Corps. We may have brought nuclear madness to its knees in the 80s, but it's busy trying to re-establish itself again. And I, with your help, aim to stop it. Why is Pacifica Radio so important? Because it's the only network that's non-biased and can therefore tell the truth to the American people. There's simply no other media in the USA that tells the truth like Pacifica Radio or Amy Goodman. Indeed, most of them lie through their teeth day in and day out. If You Love This Planet, my show, is not heard on radio stations that get their money from defense contractors and oil companies and the Nuclear Energy Institute. They might manage to greenwash themselves on some so-called public media outlets, but not Pacifica. We take no corporate funding, and that has always made the difference. You Pacifica listeners know very well that this is the most critical time in planetary life that we as a species have ever faced. Free speech radio is therefore incredibly precious, and what makes it even possible is democratic participation. Listeners like you stepping up to the plate and taking responsibility for your media. Members can become local station board members. Local board members can become national board members, and the Pacifica National Board is the legal entity that has the power to make all important decisions for this network. You must take an active role in running these stations. They are yours, and as such, you must help to propel them into the best listened stations in the country, to guide them in the right direction, and to put forward our shared progressive democratic ideals, to create debate and critical thinking. Why should I care, you ask? Well, here's why. Because the Pacifica bylaws give the local station board the power and responsibility to 1. Make recommendations to the executive director for the hiring and firing of each station's general manager. 2. Approve each station's annual budget. And 3. Ensure that the programming at each station conforms to the mission of Pacifica. If you want to run for the board, the first thing you need to become is a member by donating $25 or more by July the 15th, 2009. That's easy. If you're already a member, you are already qualified to run for the board. Next, you need to fill out the paperwork to be a candidate. You can download all the paperwork from www.pacifica.org/elections, or you can call 866-PEACE, P-E-A-C-E-O-1, 1-800-866-PEACE, P-E-A-C-E-01, and they will send you a candidate's packet. Being on the local station board will take between 10 to 20 hours of your volunteer time per month. If you don't have the time to spare, it's still terribly important that you make sure your membership is up to date so that you can vote for those who are willing to serve. That number again is 866-PEACE-01. You must submit all of your written materials before midnight, July the 15th, in order to qualify as a listener candidate. I urge you to take action and stand for your deepest held beliefs. As George Orwell wrote, in times of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. So please run for the board and bring in good governance. Tell the truth. Push forward the Pacifica mission. I'm Dr. Helen Caldicott. Thanks so much for caring about this station, this network, and indeed, our beautiful, beloved planet.
KPFT Houston.
I am the king of the world. I'm a bad man. I shook up the world.
I'm out of control. I think I'm going crazy. I'm out of my mind. My eyes.
Good evening. Welcome back to After Hours. This is Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert, along with my co-host, Master Buzz, who's still outside. And Baby Bear is here. Say hello, Clayton.
Hello.
Hello.
Say that Master Buzz is out sucking a fag.
Yeah, he's out sucking a fag.
That'll get him rushing in here soon.
Yeah, hey, Buzz, stop sucking your fag and get in here. Put the butt down. Drop your butt. Drop your... Oh, wait, he's old. His butt's already dropped.
He's in the hall staring at the half-naked man.
Yeah,
his butt has dropped.
Just, that's Justin. He knows Justin.
Seen it, done it.
His butt dropped a long time ago.
Yeah, Justin's a fire dancer. We all know Justin. He's a great guy. We are here tonight with M-Packed Houston. And quick note, the first song that I played to open the show with was a song called Flesh. It's by Kendall. They have... Kendall just released... I would say a collection of singles from five or six albums that he's done. That you can actually find it at Black Hawk Leather. That's about the only song on his album that I can play on the radio, because every other song pretty much drops the F-bomb. So I can't play... I'm closing out the one show with I Get Stupid. And the song you'll listen to the song, you'll love it. But my favorite songs are Hot Drunk Guy and The Booty Song. Those are actually pretty funny. But Hot Drunk Guy I can't play because the refrain drops the F-bomb every other word. So.
Well, come on, Robert. We can't even play your stuff on the radio.
Well, no, you can play my stuff. There's not one song I've ever done that has an actual cuss word in it. Now, it alludes to a lot of things that are really incredibly nasty. But my music, I do not use cuss words because I want it played on the radio.
Right.
And I do get a lot of radio play, just not in the city.
Right.
And that second song that we listened to, that was Billy Idol, that was Power Junkie, that was off his Cyberpunk CD from a few years ago. And I just like that song, I think it's cool.
A few.
So, welcome back, Ruben, Trevor.
Thank you.
We're here
you.
Tonight again with ImpactHouston.org, Houston, Impact Houston, M-Pact, M-PACTHOUSTON.org. And Impact Houston is a task force that is asking the question, why is it still happening? And what are we going
to
do about it?
Let me do one thing real fast. We need to make us a little bit legal.
Oh, yes. Make us legal.
Yes. You're listening to listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston. And as always, www.kpft.org.
Thank you, Wes.
Not a problem.
Incredible. You're starting to say that in your sleep now, too, aren't you? Just like Chris.
Pretty much. Next thing you know, I'm going to be... I'll have all sorts of spins on it.
Yeah, and keep in mind, it did say in that little announcement that this is listener-sponsored radio, so call up and donate money.
Yes, Pacifica Radio is free radio for peace. Donate money. You can go to kpft.org to donate. You can call us and donate. And keep in mind that we've got elections, so make your voice heard and vote for the people that you think are going to keep this radio station the way you want it. And just so everybody knows, Judy, I did bring the photos. Jimmy has them. Get off my back, woman, I swear.
Oh, you get Judy on your back, you're in the bad place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Judy accosted me last month.
You're in trouble, sir. You're in trouble.
And she's like, if you don't bring him this month, I'm going to launch a campaign. I was like, okay, I'm bringing him. And where is she? She's not here. But damn it, if I didn't leave your hat at home, I will bring that. Yeah, I walked in the door with the photos, and Jimmy comes running out. Where's my hat? Where's my hat? Where's the Pinmaster hat? It's at my house.
There you go.
So, Impact Houston,
He's jealous, and he wants to keep it himself.
No, that's not one I've ever wanted to keep. Thank you. That's to be passed on to the next Pinmaster, which was never me in the first place. Let's get back to Impact Houston. What is Project Abstract? What is this?
What you're looking at is pretty much an outline of what our organization is trying to meet a lot of different criteria in order to be effective in what we're investigating out there in our gay community and MSM community. So basically, I've just kind of outlined some bullet points here just to cover. And basically, you know, we've lost our footing here in this community, and we have for many years now, with this new generation that has come into the folds in our community. The older educated crowd is now if we're still around and we're still alive, we are hopefully doing what we need to be doing. But at the same time, it's not being vocalized back out to the community like it used to be.
No, it's not. That's definitely not.
I still think even people that have been with this disease for a while have also forgotten what it has done.
Yeah.
I think it's been so many years that they forgot what it was like in the beginning.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, they're doing better.
But these are images I can't burn out of my mind.
I've never been. I can't burn them out of my mind. I still see the funerals I went to.
Oh, yeah.
I still see friends that I love dearly that are no longer with us because of this.
Going to a funeral and nobody is there because everybody's afraid they're going to catch AIDS from the corpse. Yes, I remember
that. Not just that. Families that would not even notify friends because people had died because they were too embarrassed that their family member had HIV.
Yeah.
That's also hard.
Yeah.
I don't understand how anybody who lived through that can forget.
They do.
It's denial. It
happens.
Well, look how our society has moved so quickly in the last several decades. Our technology has gotten quicker, faster. We've relied on everything on impulse. It's a disposable society. We're not really thinking about a lot of the things our fathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers had done before us.
Sacrifice to get us where we are. But you're very right. It's a disposable society that we live in.
Disposable is humans.
Well, what's truly lacking is more of a sense of history in the gay community. There's no real education about our history.
Well, I mean, there is. Well, I think there is, but I think there needs to be more support of it. I mean, Gulf Coast Archives Museum does a phenomenal job.
But how many people go and visit?
True. If you go to the Montrose Counseling Building, every single floor is filled with your history.
But the issue is that information is in areas that's really the majority of the public is not going and seeing
right.
it a great
it,
deal.
It could be publicized a lot better, but again, that comes down to funding. And the government has cut funding for so much stuff.
Okay, and here's a point, and pardon me, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. We can't move the Gulf Coast Archives and Museum into the bars and the baths just to make sure that people get it. If you're interested in your history, you're going to look it up. It's there. It's available. And it's available right around the corner, just about
any
corner.
But when you're 19 years old, you're not looking at that.
Honestly, I think it's a greater failing in the gay community.
How is it a failing?
Who really is our gay civic leader saying, look at the history, look where we've come from, look where we're trying to go to? We have no great civic leader. We have no Dr. Martin Luther King. We have no Alice Paul.
Yeah, we do. We have the Harvey Milk, but, you know.
Harvey Milk's dead.
He was assassinated just like the rest of them, but...
When was the first time I heard about Harvey Milk? When the movie came out.
That's amazing to me.
See, I mean, this information...
Okay, I will tell everybody right now, go down to Half Price Books or go down to Barnes & Noble or whatever. There's a book. It's called The Gay Book of Days. And it lists gays throughout history from the 16th century and before all the way to present day about different gays and their contributions to society. I mean, a lot of people... What I love, Black History Month... They play up George Washington Carver to death, but nobody ever says George Washington Carver was a gay black man. Huh. All they say is, ooh, he gave us peanut butter. You know? And it's like, okay, yeah. And well, you want to know where food fetishes come from, right?
But really, we do need to promote the history of the gay community.
Okay, and if you promote it, who will listen?
If you put the information out there and you get us a great civic leader, I'll tell you, the people will follow. We've got all these subgroups nationwide. It's basically a mashup.
Okay, well, I'm going to play the devil's advocate this time. You say we need a great civic leader. Why? Why can't people do it for themselves? We had to do it for ourselves back in the 70s and 80s.
We're not doing it now.
This generation
no
is not doing it.
No movement in this country has ever succeeded without a great leader. Just a prime example, my favorite example, is women's suffrage. It was not being moved forward by NASA, which was the original women's suffrage movement.
Right.
Alice Paul had to break off and create her own stronger community.
More militant community.
Exactly. And she got it done. She got the vote put in for women much faster than NASA moved anything forward. We have nobody here fighting for us. We have Human Rights Campaign doing their thing. We have all of our subgroups in all the major cities. We have no nationwide effort.
They have a different, and they all have a different agenda.
Exactly.
They do. They don't have the agenda of actual education and history,
and a lot
which is what is needed.
A lot of these groups, I don't want to support what they're going after because they don't support what I feel is important in the community.
Okay, let me, again, I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Please do.
It is as it has always been. There has never been a national gay leader, ever.
And what?
Not in my time, not in his time. There has never been a national gay leader. It has always been localized. The only time this community has ever been cohesive is when we are under attack by the right wing.
But the issue is,
the rest of the time, we don't give a crap about one another.
I absolutely agree with you, and that's our own failing, too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it's a huge issue. If we don't have somebody standing up and saying, come together, here's where we're going, you need to be one cohesive unit to move your group
forward. Trevor, I have an idea. I nominate you.
All right.
And it's not just the younger generation that should be blamed for this.
Trevor,
it's us older generation also.
But again, I look back and when I was their age, I was the same way. I was a Twinkie bar whore, you know.
As was I.
So I get it, but
we're making judgments on people that we have no right to be making judgments on.
There are very few people of your age that are this interested in the politics and the survival of gay history. Most people are too busy trying to get laid, going out to the bars, doing the party drugs, getting on the dance floor.
And that's something I addressed in my latest article.
Right.
It was actually about the individual who won the prom queen title in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And really, my topic in that article was saying, well, is this really good for our movement? Does this really make people feel that we are contributing to part of our community, the greater good? And my answer is no. I honestly felt that it was a huge misstep in the gay community. They came out against this Bruno movie, thank God. You know, GLAAD came out against it. But nobody mentioned anything about this prom queen, just reinforcing the negative stereotypes.
I was really fortunate when I was young. Yes, I was a club kid whore, too. But in my spare time, I hung out with
Yeah, but when you were a club kid whore back then, all they had were like
rocks.
No Stone Age jokes.
Yeah, I was going to say, they had rocks and sticks for drums. I mean, there was no syncopation. Everybody danced around the fire. I mean, there were no cocktails. There were nothing.
I grew up in Seattle, Washington, and when I was in high school, I was the first gay foster child in the nation to be knowingly placed by the state in an openly gay foster home. That threw me into politics. Mm-hmm. And my friends, the people I hung out with, were the leading activists in our community. The Reverend Robert Sirico, Tim Mayhew, Annie Montague, Val Valverjean. These were the people that I hung out with. These were my educators, my mentors, my fellow activists. But I can tell you that even then, we weren't exactly preaching to the choir. You know, the only time our community has ever come together cohesively is when we're under attack by the right wing. And then only to storm the polls, and when the polling is all over with, we go
right back to
our separate corners.
You go right back to the bars.
It has always been that way. This is not a new phenomenon.
No, it's not a new phenomenon, but my
point is, something needs to change.
It does. It has to change because we're never going to move our efforts forward without a cohesive unit. We're just going to be all of these disorganized units hoping to try to get to some end with some means, but no real direction.
If you look at other subcultures that are suppressed, and now they're probably not as suppressed as they used to be, they have fought. They have kept cohesive. They have worked together. We don't do that as a community.
No, because we also discriminate greatly within our own community.
Exactly, very much so.
So if we want rights for all of us, we first of all have to start by treating everybody equal. And we just don't do that, and we haven't done
that. Good luck with that.
Hey, I'm an idealist. I'm enough to try to fight for it.
But it's human nature.
It is human nature. But
speaking of human nature, this is something I asked Ruben about when he walked in. I grabbed this sheet of paper away from him and started reading this. So part of what Impact Houston is doing, the main question, and the question is literally on their business card, why is it still happening? Well, here's some why is it still happening risks. I like this. Play safe and have fun, the STD risk chart. So let's cover some of this stuff and get some information out there that's really
well, sure,
needs
because,
to be there.
You know, Harris County has seen a rise in HIV as well as STDs out there, any sexually transmitted disease. They've jumped up about 64% since 2001.
And the scary part, I think, is this new generation that we are going to be relying on. Well,
and it's
when
larger
we're
than
as
New York
old
City
as Buzz.
Increase.
There are presumed to be 6,075 MSM cases of people living with HIV and AIDS in Houston Harris County right now. So,
yeah,
that's alarming. That really is. We shouldn't be seeing an increase. It should either be leveling off or going down.
But I think the problem is what you have said earlier is that the information you don't see the people out there. I mean, I remember even up into the late 90s. You'd see them walking to the bars, handing out condom packets
right.
and HIV information and everything.
Some
and
of the bars don't even allow that anymore.
Yeah. And so it's like, you're scaring the patrons. No. Good.
Yeah, we're keeping the patrons alive.
We're trying to keep them alive so they can keep coming to your bar.
If you don't have any patrons, then you make no money, too.
Well,
we're scaring them, not killing them.
Yeah. We're trying to keep them from killing each other.
Well,
yes.
You need to be scared if you're not doing what you're supposed to be, because so, you will get this. And
so let's
time.
Talk about some of the scary stuff.
Well, on the fun side is the safe side. So if you're going to have sex, come on, guys, we're going to play, you're going to have sex, you're going to do what... So drop a condom on it. It's that simple. Let me give you some examples here. If you're performing oral sex... Known risks are that you could get chlamydia, gonorrhea, hepatitis A, herpes, the human papillomavirus, which will form warts, syphilis, and then possible or unknown risk could be hepatitis B, HIV, and hepatitis C. And that's just oral sex
yeah.
on another person. Now, if you're receiving it, well, same thing. Chlamydia, gonorrhea, herpes, syphilis, possibly unknown is those warts again.
Yes, and...
NSU.
Two things to think about. Chlamydia is not just a woman's disease. Men do get it, too, and they get yes. it very often and frequently. And you can get it from another man. You don't have to have sex with a woman to get chlamydia.
That is some of the myths and misconceptions that are still looming out there in the community.
Uh-huh. And really, do you want warts on your wanker? That's not really pretty, especially for that Facebook pic.
Nobody wants to play with one that has warts on it.
Yeah, I can confirm that men can get chlamydia because I got it when a condom broke on me one time.
Yeah.
I also got the sister to that that has the same effects. What is it? Can't think of it off the top of my head, but...
Everybody's looking at the nurse.
I can't hear.
Oh, well, he's saying, what's the sister companion to chlamydia? You have what, chlamydia?
Gonorrhea. That's it.
Oh, gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea?
Yeah, gonorrhea, and I got both of them at the same time.
Lovely.
When a condom broke on me.
Yeah,
so
I hope he paid the medical treatment bill, right?
This is yeah, like kill the person that I was with. So.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing real quick on when it comes to these risk factors? Another great risk factor right now is people taking drugs, people drinking and getting very intoxicated, and not knowing what's going on around them in the first place. How can you keep your mind and say, put a condom on when you're...
So
stoned out of your brain.
Yeah, when you're so wasted, you pass out halfway through.
And I mean, I'm saying this in the fact that I got raped one time when I was drunk.
Well, that is totally out of control then.
And it was not controlled, but still, I still suffer this day because of it. And I have herpes for the rest of my life because of the fact somebody raped me because I was too drunk to know any better.
And too drunk to put up a fight or too drunk to say no.
And so many people who will contract these STDs are just opening themselves up to getting even bigger and worse viruses like HIV ultimately.
Mm. Well, there are certain hepatitis viruses you never get rid of. I mean, look at Pam Anderson. I mean, all the silicone in her body ain't going to stop that hep from destroying her
and
body.
Hepatitis C has been a big
Trevor,
enemy
you like
nowadays.
That one, baby?
Hepatitis C is scarier than HIV.
It sure is.
Because your your chance for dying from hepatitis C is tremendously higher than it is from HIV.
And
it's a lot easier to get hep C than it is to get HIV.
And if you have hep C, it makes it even more likely that you can contract HIV.
And a host of other things.
Now, isn't there a vaccine for one of the hepatitis families out there? I'm not sure which one.
Hepatitis B.
Is B? I was unsure.
And is it really a vaccine?
Yes.
Isn't that the gamma globulin series?
No.
No?
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. Yes. But you will always test positive for hepatitis B once you've had it. Once you've had the vaccine. That's just like somebody who's had the because in healthcare, hepatitis B vaccine is highly, highly recommended because you're always in contact with bodily fluids and so on and so forth. But most healthcare workers don't realize they can't give blood anymore.
Right.
Because their blood will actually test positive for hep B now. And so anybody else that has received the hepatitis B vaccine, they can't give blood.
And
it's not just now that we're gay, we can't give blood. It's because we take a vaccine to protect us, we can't give blood, too.
Do they advise you of that when
yes.
you're given the shot?
Yeah.
Wow,
they do let you know that when you get the vaccine shot. Well, think about it. How do they make a vaccine? They weaken that virus to the point where
you're not effective.
Well,
virus.
Being right. gay in general, you just can't give blood.
Exactly.
Right.
Which is another ridiculous leftover of 1979.
Oh, please, all the way
Well, we don't want to get into that because that could be a very long conversation about the Red Cross.
So that was oral sex. Let's talk about anal sex. What happens there? Not the fun time, what you get afterwards if you're not playing safe.
Well, if you're not playing safe and you're a top guy, well then, by all means, chlamydia, gonorrhea, crabs, scabies, hepatitis B, herpes, HIV and the HPV virus and syphilis and... Of course, possible and unknown risk could be hep C. I mean, that's still around, hep C, in no matter what your practices are, because that disease can dry up and still be active.
Mm-hmm. It goes dormant until it finds a new host, and then it becomes active again.
And if you're performing anal sex and you're the bottom guy, by all means, you're very susceptible to a lot of things. Chlamydia, gonorrhea, crabs, scabies, just like before, hepatitis B, herpes, HIV, HPV, and syphilis, and again, hep C. So it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it feels good. We're having fun. We're in the moment. But are we thinking when we're in the moment? Are we too drunk? Are we too drugged? Are we not considering who the other person's been with? Are we being true to ourselves?
Mm.
Think with the big head, play with the little
head. Yes.
Think first, then play. Don't do them in reverse.
Well, I think that's one thing that I have to commend the leather community and the BDSM community and the fetish community on. Considering the type of play that we do, everything is negotiated. And it's negotiated to play as safely and sanely as possible.
Everything is thought out and planned in advance.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so you have everything there that you need. Now, if we could just get the vanilla, if you want to call them that, the vanilla crowd to think the same way, negotiate with the person you are with. This is what I want to do. This is what I don't want to do. These are my limits. And if you can't respect the limit, and that limit means wearing a condom or whatever else that limit is, well, then we're not going to play.
The difference here basically is that we know that the things that we do are dangerous.
Uh-huh.
We know. We play with danger. We beat each other. We
electrocute each other, wax.
We play with fire. We know that these things are dangerous.
Fire.
Because we know they are dangerous and we like the danger and we want to play with it. Because we like the danger, we want to play with it. We want to play so that we can continue to play which means we have to know what can go wrong and be prepared for it.
Exactly. So, I think Trevor's eyes are going to pop out of his head here.
It's all
example.
Done.
There's nothing you could say that could frighten
it's
me.
It's all okay. done.
In example, when you play with fire, the first thing you need is a fire extinguisher nearby. Okay? Because if you accidentally set somebody on fire, you got to be able to put some out.
So in that same vein, for those of you who don't like playing with these very obviously dangerous things, think about this. HIV is an obviously dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. Think about what you're doing and prepare for the worst.
Negotiate with the person you're with. If they are unwilling to use a condom, don't play with them.
In this day and age, you don't have to be ashamed to talk about wearing a condom. Are you positive? Are you negative? Do you mind? If you don't, no glove, baby, no love.
To me, I've gotten to the point, when I was still single, I don't care if somebody's positive egg, I would not ask. I automatically assume and protect myself accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't
and
have to ask. You shouldn't have to ask. It should be automatic.
Well, and I think that's where this generation is having a problem, this whole new crop of this all these outbreaks, especially with HIV and Hep C, and is that people saying, oh, well, I've got HIV. They're asking, and I'm saying, okay, well, I'm HIV. Oh, me too. Then we don't need to worry about anything.
And see, that's wrong. Very wrong. Yes. Yeah, very wrong.
Wrong way to think about it. He's got it, you got it. Okay, well, you don't want to get what he's got, and he doesn't want to get the strain you've got, and you don't want them making new strains, making babies.
or breaking down the opportunity for those meds that
different
you're taking.
Different drug treatments that you haven't been
that's
taken
right.
yet, and now you'll never be able to take them because they won't work.
Well, and hopefully you don't want to have to take a different regimen. If what you're using works for you, that's what you stick on. I was on a regimen of 7 pills twice a day mm-hmm. for 8 years. Then when they started combining 2 drugs in one, mm-hmm. I take 3 pills once a day. And oh my gosh, less side effects. I feel much better. But still, if I could turn back the clock, I would not want to have to be doing what I've been doing for the last 12 years of my life.
Mm. Well, I think once you have it, you can maybe then realize it. But so many people don't understand what it's like.
Well, we've had so much information about prevention, but no information about the realities of living with it day to day.
Living with it, yes.
And nobody's making any movies about it anymore.
No.
I noticed that.
But, yeah, do you know why? Because the whole gay community as a whole in this country is basically, we're tired of seeing gay people dying in movies.
Well, one of the things that I've heard, especially from a former close friend of mine, right after Pride, is that people just don't want to hear about it. He didn't want to hear about it. And to stop talking about it because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And my response is, well, tough. You know, yes, maybe it's uncomfortable for you, but it's now you even have a bigger problem because you don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Because you're stupid.
Yeah.
If you don't want to talk about it because it's uncomfortable, then let's talk about something really comfortable. How about a padded box?
Yeah, because, yeah.
How comfortable is that?
Yeah. And this is the same mentality that we have right here in our backyard here in Houston, Texas.
It's everywhere.
Right. That they have in other countries where those countries say, oh, we don't have the problem here because we don't have those type of people here. What type of people are we speaking of here?
Viruses are no respecter of persons.
That is correct. So, I mean, it's when you if you're sitting out there and you're negative and you know yourself, you know your body, you know what you've been doing, and you can put yourself in check and say, I know for sure, I've been tested, I know who I've been with, that's great.
And have been tested negative for 3 and 4 and 5 years.
That would even be a bonus. That really would.
The problem, because most people don't realize still to this day that you could have sex yesterday and you're not going to test positive tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not everybody's body is the same as far as the way
exactly.
this virus will
I mean, years evolve. Ago they used to think it could be years and years and years it would lie dormant. I seriously doubt that is really the case, and I don't think there's any evidence to even show that.
Okay, so that we are putting out correct information, the latest data that I've received is that if you are sexually active, you should be tested no less than once every 3 months, like clockwork.
It was six.
Six?
I've heard six if you're not active.
I've heard 6 months. I've heard 3 months. I've heard 4 months. The way I look at it, if you're being as safe as you can be, yes, accidents happen.
Mm-hmm.
Condoms break, whatever. You know, you have that one stupid drunken encounter.
Yeah, but if the condom breaks today, that doesn't mean you're going to test positive tomorrow.
Yeah, right. You can't run
in
down.
Fact, no, you cannot. In fact, they will
that's
ask
what I'm trying to get the point across.
Yeah.
They will ask that you wait. There is a waiting period before the virus will show up.
You need to wait a couple of weeks,
I'm in
more than a couple weeks.
I was a unique little potato in the sense of when I was diagnosed, I know exactly when I contracted the disease. And then I saw myself get sick. And then I knew I was very sick by the way my body was. Earlier, when I was younger, I had hepatitis. So just that taste and that feeling in my mouth and in my body, it was like that again. And in fact, that's what I thought it was. Oh, my gosh, I've got hepatitis again. It's been so many years that I've relapsed after this.
Mm.
And I remember sitting on the couch watching Princess Diana's funeral and boo-hooing and... reaching for the Kleenex because not just because I was boo-hooing, but also because of the fact that I wasn't feeling good. I felt like I was coming down with the flu. Well, guess what it was?
PCP.
Mm. Well, no. Actually, I am fortunate. No, I had what is called acute HIV, meaning onset was like that with me. There's other individuals that will live with it for years and their body will not get sick because that their immune system is able to handle that army for a little while, but your body can only do so much before it's a matter of time that the virus will take over.
But that doesn't mean that you're going to test negative.
No, it does not.
You can test positive and still your body can maintain for a while
mm-hmm.
on so, some people.
There are so many variables within that it's hard to give a conclusive statement.
There's
that.
No way to.
No,
I don't
there
think
isn't.
There ever will be.
And you won't find any healthcare provider providing anything that's so poignant.
And another piece of bad information that's going around is all these people who think that because they are undetectable, that it means they've beaten the disease.
I am undetectable. That means that the level of virus that is in my blood is undetectable by the standards of the measurements that the hospital district has taken in when they do my results on my blood work.
But it doesn't mean that you are HIV negative.
No, because all it takes is one. It's just like a girl getting pregnant. It only takes one of them little fishy to swim up there. Same thing. One of these little viruses, it takes one to enter a cell, replicate, mutate, and replicate again.
So anybody who tells you, it's okay, I don't need to wear one of those, I'm undetectable, run. Run like hell. They're trying to infect you.
You know, unprotected anal sex is an incredibly risky activity for a bottom, much more so than for a top. And the risk for HIV transmission to a bottom during unprotected anal sex is 15 in 1,000 versus 3 in 10,000 from a bottom to a top. And we know now, by using latex condoms, you will significantly reduce the risk of contracting STDs during anal or oral sex. And definitely, when you're through playing, go jump in the shower. Go wash yourself. Wash your hands, your genital areas thoroughly before and after. You know, oral and anal sex is fun, but if you still got it on there, you haven't done anything to prevent the disease from spreading.
Take a leak. Flush out your urethra.
Exactly. Do the healthy thing. Do the healthy thing for yourself. Be true to yourself. And this will reduce the risk of transmission of most listed STDs and conditions. Condom use does reduce transmission risk even further. So, you know, it's a matter of playing, but playing smart.
I was going to say salad shooter, but okay.
Jelly babies.
Oh, yes. No, we were saying also, if you're a bottom and you're having a little fun, we call it a salad shooter, but, you know, a shower shot, douche, do something, you know, just to be on the safe side.
Remember that you only get one chance at this. Don't screw it up stupidly. Don't be dumb. You're out there playing Russian roulette, you know? Make sure the chamber that's pointed at you is empty, or at least put a shield between you and that muzzle.
A semi-bulletproof vest.
Do not trust the other person. I don't care how much you love, how much you think the relationship, where it's going. You know, that trust issue, I mean, that's what got me, because the person that I got this from didn't even tell me they had it, was not even open about it. And we're talking 12 years ago.
You, the person who is living inside of that body, should be the person that you trust to take care of it.
And who do I blame but myself? Who do I blame but myself for having this?
Playing the blame game doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't work.
But my point is, you cannot trust that the other person's going to be truthful with you. And you're just going to have to take steps and measures to make yourself accountable for yourself.
And it's not just that they may not be truthful, they may not even know.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's the other thing. Because I had a partner that we didn't know until 6 months after being in a relationship.
I know for a fact that there are people who are out there who know they are positive, they are on the medication regimen, and they are still going out and having unprotected sex and not bothering to tell their partners.
Well,
I call them sexual vigilantes. They are out there. They are trying to infect you.
And there are also the bunch out there that are trying to get infected.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's... We play at all angles here, and I don't understand how somebody would want this disease.
I do.
Again,
I do. I understand their thinking.
Tell me today now.
Once I've got it, then I don't have to worry about it anymore. I can play. I can bear back, and everything will be cool.
Not only that. That is part of the mentality, but there's another class of people who's seeing all of these people who are HIV positive getting assistance with their rent and their bills, and they figure, all I have to do is get AIDS, and the government will buy my rent.
Yeah.
Well, there's also something called guilt, too. There are people that do it out of guilt also. They sit there and see their friends having to do all of these, taking all these medications and everything else. And I'm sorry, I'm Jewish. I grew up with guilt. I know what guilt feels like. And there are people that do feel guilty because their friends are all having to do this and they're not, and they don't feel part of the group.
I went through a big guilt trip because I'm negative, but all of my friends basically were positive, and I felt guilty because I did some of the same unsafe crap that they did. I was probably worse than all of them.
I did the same thing. I'm still negative, and I got to tell you right now, I don't have the luggage for a guilt trip.
I don't anymore, but there was a time that I went through it 4 or 5 years. There's like, maybe I should just go do it so that way I don't feel so guilty and I'll fit in.
When I had my partner that was positive, I felt guilty. I felt guilty that he was positive and I was negative. And at that point in time, I even said to myself and said to others, I would trade places and I would take it so he wouldn't have to.
Well,
it's a sad place to be.
Great, but yeah,
it's a sad place to be. But that's part of, that is also out there. There is guilt that is the issue also in these people that are wanting to get infected.
But it's also
guilt
the
is
fact
an issue.
You can't, when you stand
survival
around,
guilt.
You go out and you're standing around and you're chit-chatting, having drinks at the bar with your friends and everything, and they're all talking about all the different meds they're on and trading drugs and everything, and you're just kind of left standing over there. Because
that's what I was talking about earlier.
You're negative, and you've just been shut out because you're not a member of the club. And there are a lot of people that think, well, if I'm a member of the club, then I'll fit in.
Which gives way to pause parties.
Yes. And the bareback parties.
They are out there, yes.
I think it's disgusting.
The discussion we're having right now is exactly the thought-provoking discussion we are going to be having as a task force.
Wasn't that the purpose for this?
Oh, definitely so.
Oh, okay.
Definitely so.
Thought maybe I was having a moment.
No, but what I'm saying, a lot of...
You have senior moments.
A lot of the senior moments that we're experiencing this evening, or this morning, is definitely the types of issues we're going to be discussing in focus groups, in committee meetings. And we're asking the community to be involved in that process. In fact, the three of you are our first three guests. Hey, come on down. Because we can just continue on at our next meeting. But
okay, you want to do some scare tactics? I'd be more than happy to come in and talk to any group of people you want to assemble about the tragedy of having to bury loved ones.
Well, okay, that may be something in the process on down the road. What we're looking for is this type of brainstorming discussion that will lead us to actually cause action to be taken in another area. But before action, and we can figure out what that action is going to be, we need to brainstorm about it. And that is what this committee, these different committees will be doing. And that is what we as a task force are trying to meet in order to accommodate that, the level of some sort of a committee being able to function in a way that they have a task and a mission and they can go and do it.
Okay, I say let's take a little baby break and listen to, as Jimmy hates me to call it,
we get to kick the baby?
A musical interlude. And then I want to come back and I want to talk about trends in the community and what's going on and how we're going to deal with all these trends and outbreaks that are happening now. Sound good?
Good.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
Take control. going screw it, no other would smother when tempted by another. But you took her and shook her, this overrated hooker. So love her, take cover, cause soon you will discover that I'm not your mother. So you can't keep pretending you're not cooing with some other. And I tried to reject it, but you damn so stupid. What you done?
Good morning. Welcome back to After Hours on KPFT Houston. This is Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert. I'm here with my co-host, Master Buzz.
Hello.
We are here tonight with MPACHouston.org. And we've got Ruben and Trevor sitting in the studio. And
with Impact Houston.
Yes, with Impact Houston. They are board of directors, officers. How do you refer to yourself?
We're the executive board right now. We've pretty much put together just a small team of us right now to get things going until we get to where we need to be.
Good. Mm-hmm. And it's impacthouston.org if you want to get to their website. And I love the business card. On the business card, it just says impacthouston.org. Why is it still happening? And if you want to contact them, go to their website, or if you have any questions, y@impacthouston.org.
Now, spell that.
So that is M-PACT.
M.
Not
the letter M.
The letter M.
M-PACT-Houston.org.
Is that M-dash or M underscore?
Dash.
Okay.
I said dash, not underscore.
I know you were a computer literate person, unlike myself. But I just...
Oh, no. If you know the difference between a dash and an underscore, you're computer literate, Jimmy. I know you only type with one hand, but...
well, that's only in that other name that I have.
Yeah.
Which one?
The one that accidentally emailed me said, no, this is my play email. Use my real
that's
email.
Yeah, that's right.
That's under his name, Pink Lady.
No.
Pink Lady, yeah.
Rad DJ.
Yes.
Rad DJ 2000.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're going to start calling you Pink Marmalade, honey.
I am the pink one.
So, the music we just listened to was Monocue, was the first song.
Uh-huh.
It was Do You Want to Roll? That second song was Pussy Tourette, one of my favorite drag queens. I wish he would hurry up and come out with a new album.
I know it.
But that was a remix of one of Pussy Tourette's songs, All My Misery. And we figured, I thought it was a funny topic for tonight. If you listen to the words of the song, play it back, you'll love it. So, Trevor,
yes.
What are we going to talk about now? Well, we're talking about trends among the MSM, and MSM, for those of you who don't know, is men having sex with men. That doesn't necessarily mean you're gay. You could be bisexual. Or, as they call it now, I think the hot new word, the trendy word, is heteroflexible. So, no, really, they're not bisexual, they're not pansexual, they're heteroflexible. That's the new fun word in the community there. So, what are we going to be talking about?
Well, the thing I'd like to address, especially in Houston, since 2001, we've seen a 64% increase in young men who have sex with men. That's 13 to 30-year-olds. And 64%, that's nearly double New York City, and that has a much larger population than we do. And an unintended consequence, the reason this is happening, is because the younger generation hasn't really seen the effect of AIDS on individuals. The last real public figure that we've had and that we've seen pass away from AIDS is Pedro Zamora, and that was the early 90s. And I can recall it, a lot of my peers cannot. So the reason we're seeing this increase is that it's not seen as deadly or as such a danger anymore. So,
well, again, it's HIV has become, it's been declassified, I guess. Most people nowadays say, it's no worse than diabetes or high blood pressure.
I hear that so much.
It's manageable now. No, it's not manageable. You can only go so far, and then the drugs don't work anymore, and then you're screwed.
And here's another thing that's working against us and not working in our favor, and I have to say this, and go ahead, sue me if you want to, Magic. Magic Johnson coming out saying that he's been cured.
Yeah,
he cured the disease. No, you didn't. You are still HIV positive.
And that, again, your generation and so many people are taking the cue. He's undetectable, yes, but he's not cured.
And I often hear, especially among my friends who are positive, that, I'm undetectable. There's no issue here. There's no problem with that. And really, I just want to turn back and say, go look at Pedro Zamora. Go look even further back, Gia Carangi.
Yeah.
I mean, these individuals had access to the drugs. They took the drugs. They passed away. You know,
Gia didn't really have the access to the drugs, though.
She did.
No, at the time Gia came down.
When Gia was positive, there was only AZT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gia was not around when there were protease inhibitors.
No.
Gia died way before that.
If you people don't know who Gia is, she was one of the first supermodels. There's a movie with all fags' favorite, Angelina Jolie, starred in the movie. But it's very true, and if you rent the movie, look at the special features, because it really does show the real Gia and all the crap she went through, because she actually did a documentary about her drug addiction and HIV and shows her decline.
Is Greg Louganis still with us?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
another movie people should watch is The Band Played On also.
Yes.
That movie needs to be brought back out to the cinema.
Absolutely.
So that people see what it was like.
Yeah, there's no reason why River Oak Landmarks shouldn't be playing that, especially during June.
Longtime companion.
So, okay, off the movies, we'll get back to that. You were saying what, 65%?
64% of new HIV diagnoses in Harris County, Houston, is the young men who have sex with men. And to me, that's just outrageous. 13 to 30-year-olds. As young as 13, I don't understand. And really, what it is, what we're finding out, is they don't really have the information because of the previous administration, George W. Bush. That information was pulled out of schools. I know when I was in high school in early 2000, that information wasn't available anymore. It was gone as early as then. So what we're basically seeing are the consequences of lack of information and the belief among the young men who have sex with men that this is a manageable disease, like you said, like diabetes. And really, the issue has become, on top of prevention, the realities of living with AIDS. We haven't seen it in the media in almost, it's been over 10 years, almost 15 years, since Pedro Zamora was on TV, and we all saw what he went through on MTV. And we don't have that anymore. We have none of our media outlets covering it. None of our great stars.
The only commercials I've seen, the only PSAs that I've seen from any of the organizations is AIDS Foundation Houston is still on the air, but their commercials are, like, watered down.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely.
The one thing that I really want to stress, though, is not trying to create scare tactics around individuals who are infected with HIV or have AIDS. There's no reason to create fright around individuals who are affected by this disease. What it is, we just need to get the information out there that there are ways to prevent this, and this is not a disease you want to have to manage. You don't want to have to deal with this. The drugs are expensive. The treatments are long. It takes over a year, usually, to get you stabilized on the drugs, at least with my friends. That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. And like we said before, the drugs are toxic.
Yes. Yeah.
You're going to have negative effects in your body from taking those drugs.
And taking your drugs the way you're supposed to keep the blood level.
And it, by way of not vilifying people who are already infected, those of you who are not, if you want to know what it's like to live with this, talk to somebody who's living with it. They'd be more than happy, I'm sure, to share the information with you.
I had written an article. It's on my blog. I'm sorry, I'm going to plug it.
Plug it.
That's
Anthony
plug
Chronicles.
It.
You can Google it. Just Google Anthony Chronicles. There's an article in there. It's called Anyone Heard About AIDS Lately? And it's a conversation really between me and a close friend of mine who is infected with the disease. And it really goes over the realities of living with this and the issues of not talking about it. There, you know, as I say in the article, we've gone backwards. We've gone back to...
Well, considering the fact when you walk into the bars nowadays, I mean, they used to be plastered with HIV posters and prevention posters. You go into the bars, the bathhouses, wherever you go, you don't see those posters. You don't see that information more. The only thing you see is crystal meth addiction with some little waif girl model that's, you know...
That's part of the issue.
Well, I understand drugs are part of the issue, but, I mean, the issue should be the trend of these diseases exploding again all over our community.
My favorite ad is the one where it says, things get bigger when other things get smaller.
Mm.
A lovely fitness ad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we can't talk about HIV.
No.
Even hepatitis C still needs to be brought into the forefront because it hasn't been either.
So, speaking of the trends, we're seeing these big outbreaks. What's going on with this? What are you seeing? What are you gathering?
Well, I mean, when you look at... We have a pretty good surveillance system in our United States as far as tracking diseases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the latest, greatest case on that is that tuberculosis case where the guy flew into Washington...
And then they quarantined him there.
Yeah.
And you just have to take measures like that when it comes to public safety and public health. But then when you're faced with a virus where you can't really control people that much, especially your own actions, people's own actions, it makes it quite difficult to really get a thumb on, well, do we do this? Do we do that?
But again, it's also people who don't take responsibility for their own actions.
Well, and that's the downward spiral that we're going through in all this, is because we're not standing up and doing what we need to do. First of all, as individuals to stand up, and then as a community to stand up, and then ultimately as a nation.
And so the trends we're seeing is going right back to what it was like back in the late 70s, early 80s, when, I mean, even documented very well in multiple movies, and the band played on being one of the most truthful, I think.
I think so. I think it's one. It really shows the entire society and how it went through.
But it's gotten back to that point. We've gone full circle back to where the gays saying, you can't tell us how to live. You can't shut down our bathhouses. How dare you tell us what we can and can't do in our own bars and our own bedrooms? And it's like, it's gone all the way back to that.
I mean, it's been 28 years since the disease was identified, and we've never seen a single year where infection rates have decreased in the United States. Not even after the medications were approved.
Mm.
There's no reason for this. You know, in such a great nation as ours, with such brilliant individuals, and to see no decrease in infection rates in almost 30 years.
Yeah, I wonder if that's our own arrogance. Yes.
I have a problem, though, with the fact that we in this nation don't take care of our own in the first place.
Yeah.
We send free drugs everywhere else, but we make people who are HIV positive in this country suffer.
Pay $60 for a pill.
Oh, well, absolutely. You can blame pharmaceutical companies on that.
No, not always. No, it's not. Totally. It is the government.
Not totally.
That is the government. There's a big difference. But everybody sits there and gets onto pharmaceutical companies, but you know what? It costs money to do research.
Well, and it does.
And you know what? Do you know how many drugs get approved? For how many drugs that get lost and don't get approved, there is a lot of money that goes into research. And I know this is dear to my heart because I work in research, but I'm telling you, the money that people think get wasted or that drug companies are trying to take from them, they don't know how much money goes into doing this research. There are years and years and years and years.
These companies
of
have a
research.
Right to make a profit.
First of all, it has to go through animal testing. Then it goes through, there's four phases of human testing before a drug can get approved. HIV is the only period of time when HIV came out, drugs got fast-tracked.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they were taken from phase one process all the way to being approved
to human consumption.
For human consumption, because of the fact there was, it was what's quote called a novel drug. It was a drug that there was nothing else for. And that's I will have to say it's not the only disease that has happened for, because they do that in cancer too. But
well, we had
drugs
people dropping like flies. We had to do something.
Yes, but people don't blame the pharmaceutical company. Blame the place where the blame is deserved, and that's the government. The government is the one that is controlling these prices. If we had universal health care, we wouldn't have these issues.
Right, and that's
and the countries that do have that don't have the issues with people getting HIV medications.
And that is the big issue nowadays, especially just in our own nation with our own health care system. It's already a fallen system. It has been. Who knows how it's going to be fixed? And then it's inundated now with factors like this.
Yeah.
And
we'll call Michael Moore. He'll fix it.
Yeah, well.
Guys, I need to step in for a second.
Break.
I need to step in here real quick and say, you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, www.kpft.org.
And we are listener-sponsored, so make those donations and keep us all happy and on the air and keep you informed about what's going on in our community. Impact Houston is here tonight. We are talking about different trends, what Impact Houston is trying to do, what you have been doing so far. You are organizing, becoming what? What is the goal for Impact Houston?
Well,
where do you see yourselves growing and becoming?
Well, we're becoming a task force, and that's how we're evolving. And for us to be any bigger than we are right now would do us no benefit, because right now we need the few people to make a lot of brainstorming decisions and then hold events and committees and focus groups and meetings out there that will involve our community in order to get opinions, in order to get some understanding on where our next direction is.
We really need to figure out what the better way is, because
better way to do what,
the better way to reach. Increase prevention and reach individuals. And
okay, so basically you're an education task force.
That's our
in the process of it. It will be education, sure.
Okay. But right now is it's
right
discovering
now it's all researching and
trying
collecting
to data.
Out.
Right
exactly.
Now we need to figure out what we've been doing. Really, the information of the crux is what we are doing, and then realizing it's not working. What can we do that's going to work?
How can we try to fix it?
Yes.
And this is what we're asking listeners out there to do. Jump on our website. Jump on your email and drop us an email. Do you have any suggestions? Do you want to be involved? And at what level do you want to be involved? Right now, we really... I cannot conclusively sit here and say, come to a certain meeting and let's do this. Because we're not ready for you on that. But we are ready for you to get on our mailing list, get on our rosters, so when we do get to that point, we can inform you to come and be a part of this, come and be a part of the process, have some roundtables like what we're sitting here and doing here this evening, but in a group effort, and some focus groups to actually talk about some subjects that can really delve into maybe an out-of-the-box type aspect toward conquering and communicating with our community.
And again, go to m-pact-houston.org. They want to hear from you. They want your input. They want your interaction. If you don't want to go to the website, email them directly, why@m-pact-houston.org. So either email them directly, why@m-pact-houston.org, not .com, not .net, but .org, or go to the website m-pact-houston.org.
And if you have not been tested, if you don't know your status, shame on you, and you really should. So let me give you a couple organizations that and some numbers that you can contact. Monday morning, get out, go get tested. It's free. It's anonymous. Nobody's going to berate you for stepping up and asking questions. You can be as timid as you want to be, or you can be as brave as you want to be. Nonetheless, somebody will help you out in this scenario. And the Harris County Hospital District has HIV Services Department, and you can call them at 713-873-4157. To find out where the testing sites are. Again, that's 713-873-4157. And then we also have other organizations like Legacy, and you can contact them at 713-830-3000. That's 713-830-3000. But do get tested. Do it for yourself. Do it for your partners. Do it for your playmates. Let's make this a community that's really thinking about what we're going to be doing for tomorrow.
And something that I was going to bring up, and I think, pardon me if I'm, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, is it not true that people who want to get involved with this, an initial step would be, in order to help you with your research, actually saying how much you know about HIV and where did you learn it?
That would be good. It would be great to hear people's perspective on this. You know, a couple weeks ago we were out at the Pride Festival and the Pride Parade, and that was our introduction to the community. And we had a poster board that asked this same question: why is it still happening? And we asked people to participate by writing answers to this question: why do you think, after all the years, all the education, all the knowledge, why is it still happening here amongst our gay men in Houston? And they simply wrote down what they thought on these little post-it note cards, and we posted them all over. We had, what was it, 370
responses. It was great turnout.
Incredible.
Response.
I know why we don't.
Why we don't? Why don't we?
Because we spend 3 weeks talking about Michael Jackson's death.
Well, see, that's where the
and
media
we've got at least
we've got at least another
2 or 3 weeks. Yeah,
and we don't bring up topics that are important. Our news system continuously brings up trivial stuff.
They bring up entertainment, not
and they
real
don't
news.
And they don't bring out real news anymore.
If you want the real news, you got to read the ticker at the bottom in between the Michael Jackson videos on CNN. Read the little ticker at the bottom, then go to CNN.com and click on the story to actually read it, you know?
It's not news anymore. It's entertainment and ratings.
Well, we need news again.
And in order to be fair, this happens anytime a famous person dies. We did the same thing when Lady Di died. For 3 weeks, all we saw was Lady Di this, the royal family that. It happens whenever a celebrity dies. For at least 3 weeks, it dominates our news.
We had other things that were occurring in the news, like Korea, you know, playing with bombs.
Absolutely.
And we can't even discuss that because we're only discussing. And that shows how our country doesn't focus on the things that are important.
Oh, Liza Minnelli, Don't Drop Bombs, 1992 with the Pet Shop Boys.
Great album.
Don't Drop Bombs. Yeah. I mean, that's the mentality of our community.
But what we're really trying to get at with the poster board and the question is to figure out what people were thinking, what their ideas were, what the perception was, because as we all know, there's a huge gap between perception and reality, and you have to address them both. And what we're doing now is trying to compile the information to really identify what those 370 respondents
the difference between myth and reality, yeah.
Exactly.
Where are you getting your funding?
Well, right now we are formed and we our funding is based with the City of Houston Health Department.
Okay.
They're assisting and in tandem we are assisting them in these efforts as well.
My big question is when you have gotten all of this information collected and you make your plan, is advertising going to be part of that? Because it needs to be on the news. It needs to be.
That could be absolutely something that goes into our actual action plan. One of the questions I brought up at one of our latest meetings is, what is the possibility of our funding partners actually taking some out-of-the-box ideas and implementing them? Because they may be uncomfortable ideas at first, but it could be the better way. And the response that we've gotten is that the City of Houston is ready and willing to hear any and all ideas because they realize and they understand that this is a huge issue.
And we've been doing hasn't been working.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
the other thing I'm trying to say is because anything that has to do with community service, you are allotted time that are, I should say, the major networks allot time that they give free
for PSAs.
Well, those are the
kinds of things we need to start seeing again. We need to see the ads. We need to see.
And those are the exact elements that we're looking to find out about. What is most effective? Is an ad effective here, or is face-to-face effective over here, or is...
Well, I think it's really going to be a combination of all
the above.
I mean, you can only see so many Viagra ads.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Bob.
You know,
but we need to. I'm sorry for those. I did that Bob smile from inside there. I cracked everyone up.
But we need to see the HIV stuff being advertised too.
We need to
push that back into the world.
You don't even see condom ads anymore.
No.
On very few channels.
The only time I see a condom ad is the dude who goes, the pig that goes into the bathroom, buys a condom, comes out as a guy.
That's also the failing of the FCC trying to keep television quote-unquote clean.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait a minute. That's happening.
Stop.
Every other 15 minutes, there's a commercial for Viagra.
Cialis.
Or for the KY jellies that make that special moment like a volcano.
Or Girls Gone Wild.
You're being encouraged over and over and over and over here. Have sex.
And not all networks, but there are some networks out there.
These products are here. Have sex.
The cable.
Don't have safe sex. sex is the message. We can't talk about condoms. We can't talk about safe sex, but we can talk about how to keep it up.
No, actually, those KY commercials actually do say latex compatible. Latex condom compatible.
Lube. That's all they
in
say.
In the fine print.
That's all they say.
It's never said out
no,
loud.
Actually,
it's in the fine
no,
print
I have,
on the screen.
I have heard the announcer overdub and say condom compatible. I have heard it on, in two different commercials.
What are condoms for? If you don't educate the community what they're for,
or how to use them,
or why to use them,
yeah, you're assuming too much when you say latex compatible.
Exactly.
Whose job is that to communicate that they should be practicing safe sex? It's our job.
Our job.
It's the community's job. It's not KY's job. It's not Trojan's job. As much as they want to sell 100,000 condoms, it's our job to get.
Yeah, but you don't see a Trojan ad anymore.
Mm. I've seen them, but only on cable channels.
Yeah, but they need to be on national
network. In the morning.
I agree.
Well, I think we could. This could go on and on for about five more shows, but
right.
We need to wrap this up because we've got some KPFD business to take care of. I want to thank Impact Houston, Ruben, Trevor. We've got to have you back to continue this conversation.
We'd love to do that.
And, well...
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Please come back. We'll cut off Buzz's mic next time so you can talk more. Yeah, scratch that nose.
We'll just forget to pick him
once
up.
Once again, Ruben, Trevor, thank you. Impact Houston. It is M-PACT, P-A-C-T, Houston.org. The question is, why is it still happening? Go to their website and tell them why you think it's still happening. We're going to close out with Kendall. You'll love the song, Blame Me.
Did you ever want to see your face when you're kicking and you're squirming all over the place? Your mind goes numb, but your body kicks in. You know you're looking stupid, but you'll do it again. And it's a good thing, it's a real good thing. Make my bells want to ring it. I get dumb, I get stupid when I come, but I like it. I get dumb, I get stupid when I come, I get dumb. Trying hard not to look like a fool when you got bad hair and you're chin full of drool. Trying to play it sexy, trying to be cool, but you're speaking in tongues like a ooh, ooh, ooh. And I'm a space geek, I'm a rippin' geek. I fix my tongue.
Sorry, give me another second here.
Did you ever want to see your face? You're kicking and you're swerving all over the place. Your mind goes numb, but your body kicks in. You know you're looking stupid, but you'll do it again. And it's a good thing, it's a real good thing. You make my day on a swing, swing, swing. The knees shake, body quake, oh my God. And all I can say is,
what?
I get dumb.
Hi there, I'm KPFT Program Director Ernest Aguilar. KPFT is taking a brief break from our regular programming this moment to remind you about KPFT and Pacifica's board elections happening this year. Board elections are incredibly important. Good governance helps on a number of different levels, from fundraising to outreach and much more. We're taking this break from our regular programming to encourage you to vote in these elections later this year and to consider becoming a candidate for our local station board. The nominations period is right now and closes July 15th. So your opportunity to be a candidate for our local station board is now, but is ending very soon. Please listen in for these next few minutes as we educate you about the elections, the voting process, the nominations process, and much, much more. Along the way, we'll give out contact information for our local election supervisor, so you may want to get a pen and be ready to write down a little bit of information. However, if you don't have a writing instrument handy, you can find all this information at kpft.org. You can also find this information at pacificafoundation.org. Your participation in this election makes a big difference. We do require a quorum of voters for the elections to be certified. Elections are an expensive business, and we don't want money to go out the window, so we want you to please vote. We also want you to run, so please stay tuned and learn a little bit more about these elections and how to participate. Again, I'm Ernesto Aguilar, KPFT's program director, thanking you for your support of KPFT Houston. Please stay tuned and learn a little bit more about how you can be involved in this year's KPFT elections.
Greetings to all people listening to these airwaves. I'm Mo, here with Allison, to encourage you to participate in the local station board elections as a candidate, voter, or by helping with community outreach efforts.
Wait. I didn't know we were in the middle of an election. I mean, we just had a major breakthrough.
This is an election for KPFT's local station board. KPFT is a part of Pacifica Radio, America's oldest independent media network, which is also the last radio network with a democratically elected board. The KPFT station board has the power to make or break the station as we know it.
So what do you mean by make or break? I mean, if I decided to run, you mean I will actually have a say? Or is it just a title that will look good on my resume?
Well, yeah, the local station board has a lot of power, as well as responsibilities. Furthermore, I think that by participating in the board, you will not only enrich your resume, but you will enrich your life.
So?
Okay, you're very impatient. I'm getting to it, okay?
Yeah. But, you know, I've got a lot of things to do, so keep it snappy.
The primary teeth that the local station board has are controlling the budget, and we all know money talks. The local station board delegates must review and approve the station's budget. In approving funding for the stations, LSB is responsible for ensuring that the programming pushes forward the Pacifica mission to promote peace and justice through communication between all races, nationalities, and cultures. The local station board works with management to ensure that programs represent the needs of listeners and communities served by the station.
How does the LSB find out what the people need? I mean, I know what I mean, and I think I may have a fairly good idea about what others in my community need. But I would imagine you need to have a more formal way, some method to find this out.
Yeah, you're exactly right. A main responsibility is to reach out to underrepresented communities to help serve people of all ages, ethnicities, social class, sexual orientations, and genders. You should really get involved. If you want to make a change and get your voice heard, now is your chance.
Wow. If I were to run and win, looks like I could help make some real changes, or at least start the process.
I'm happy you're inspired.
So what are the requirements to run as a candidate?
You need to be a current member of KPFT by July 14th, either by renewing your membership or becoming a new member. If you haven't done this yet, you will need to make a minimum annual donation of $25 or perform 3 hours of volunteer work for KPFT. You can become a member by calling the station or visiting kpft.org and making a donation.
And?
You need to complete the candidate nomination package posted on Pacifica's website at www.pacifica.org or get a hard copy from your local election supervisor.
So, when is this nomination package thingy due, and what does it consist of?
All of your written materials must be returned before midnight, July 15th, in order to qualify as a listener candidate. These materials include 15 valid signatures of people you know are current members of your station.
I don't know if I even know 15 people in this entire world.
What?
Just kidding.
Where was I?
Oh, here. In addition to the petition, you must complete a 500-word essay about the reasons why you want to run. And you have to answer a list of questions about your qualifications for the local station board.
Okay.
If you really want to get elected, the sooner your nomination papers are received and verified, the sooner your information can be posted on the station's website and therefore viewed by all those interested in voting. Speaking of which, we strongly encourage all of you out there listening to participate as voters. As a voter, you also have to be a member, so renew your membership or become a new member before July 14th so you can participate.
Hey, hey, hey. You know I'm still here. So once I finish this nomination package thingy and get all the people in the world I know to sign my petition, what's next?
What's next? Then the campaign begins. Campaigning runs from July 15th till the end of October.
Hold on. I've never been a candidate. Well, I did try to. Never mind. Explain, please. If I'm a candidate, where do I campaign?
The local election supervisor has to ensure that you, as a listener candidate, will have several on-air and in-person opportunities to make your opinions known to the voting public and to debate with the other listener candidates during the election period.
Hmm.
By the way, everyone who's listening, you can support the democratic process by helping organize these community forum events. Please contact your local election supervisor if you want to get involved in any way. It could be as simple as an announcement at an already ongoing event or a full-fledged forum accompanied by music and food. Every little bit helps.
Music and food? That sounds good. I'm kind of hungry.
Sorry, Allison, I didn't bring any food. Do you have any more questions for me?
Well, what's after the campaign period?
Well, then there's the voting period. It runs from August 29th through midnight October 14th. The voters will have a chance to choose at least one person who will represent them and their interests on the board. Through the use of the single transferable voting method, voters will all be given an opportunity for proportional representation.
What's single transferable vote? I mean, vote. Never heard of it.
I wouldn't have expected you to have. It's not the system we use in our two-party, quote-unquote, democracy. Let me see if I can explain this simply. The single transferable vote, or STV, is a system of preferential voting designed to minimize wasted votes and provide proportional representation. Practically speaking, we have candidates and we rank them in order of preference.
What? Do I have to rank all nine, or just the few that I know?
Let me explain more clearly. You could just put your first choice, but if your first doesn't win, your vote is lost. With this system of voting, you can rank your first, second, and third choices. Once the first choice is removed from the ballot, your vote counts for your second choice. This way, there's a greater chance that your vote will count in the end. Isn't it better that your second choice be represented than not being represented at all?
It would appear so. I'm still a bit fuzzy on the mathematics of it all. So after we do the single transferable vote, then what happens?
The ballots are counted. The election has to be certified by the National Election Supervisor by November 15th. If there are challenges to the election, they have to be addressed prior to the 15th. The election process is overseen by each station's local election supervisor and by the National Election Supervisor, Les Radke. With the cooperation of management, election supervisors, staff, and listeners, we are expecting a broad, transparent election. I hope that you decide to run, Allison.
Okie dokie. I'll think about it. This is a chance to get my voice heard and represent my community. It beats yelling into oblivion about all the things I wish I could change. A noble sauce. Oops, I mean cause. Food is on the brain, since you mentioned.
Well, then let me untie your chains and free you from the bonds of the station network cell so you can get a bite to eat. But before you leave, don't forget to run. If you are elected, the new board meets in December and begins their new term of office.
Okay, now I really gotta run for a bite. See ya.
Thank you. So in closing, I want to encourage all those who are listening to participate in this election. You can really play a role in determining the future of KPFT and the Pacifica Network. It's an opportunity to participate in a real democratic process. Please spread the word about the election to others, listeners, and members. There will be multiple community forums, so please keep an ear open for the dates and times of these important events. People with disabilities or other special needs will be able to obtain voting materials and nomination packages by calling 713-526-4000, extension 303, or writing to election@kpft.org. Check out pacifica.org for more information. Many thanks for supporting KPFT and Pacifica's mission to promote peace and social justice.
Fox News.
Hello, I'm someone with a passion to bring factual information to the people who need it.
Go away, we're busy doing propaganda.
CNN.
Hello, I understand numbers. I want to help your organization get on sound financial ground and leap into the future.
No positive thinkers need apply.
KPRC.
Hi, I'm a listener and I want to help make decisions.
A listener? Hey, there's a listener out here, guys. Can you believe it?
Hey, I want to help.
Welcome, come right in. We need you.
Hi, I'm Melanie White, asking you to become a candidate in our local station board election. Confirm or renew your membership and complete the candidate nomination package posted on Pacifica's website before July 15. Call Ann Shaw at 713-526-4000, extension 303, or email to election@kpft.org for voting information and more. Again, that's local election supervisor Ann Shaw at 713-526-4000, extension 303, or email election@kpft.org.
This is not a fundraising plea. It's an alert from the Pacifica Radio Network to you, KPFT listeners. This year marks the 60th anniversary of the Pacifica Foundation, a beacon of listener-supported, non-commercial, free media since 1949 and 1970 here in Houston.
There will be separate but parallel elections for both listener and staff delegates to the Pacifica Foundation's five local station boards.
You can help keep KPFT Pacifica Radio alive and get your voice heard by running for your KPFT station board and voting for the listener candidates this fall.
Members of the local station board shape the future of KPFT and are elected to bring diverse grassroots voices from the community into the dialogue between the local community and the station.
Nominations are now open for the 2009 KPFT local station board election.
Complete election information is available on our website at kpft.org.
And contact the KPFT election supervisor to receive a nomination package by writing an email to election@kpft.org or call 713-526-4000, extension 303. That's 526-4000, extension 303. July 15th is the deadline for nominations to the KPFT local station board. How can you keep Pacifica alive? With all its diverse truth and insanity, run for the KPFT local station board and bring in good governance. Push forward the Pacifica mission to promote peace and justice through communication between all races, nationalities, and cultures. You can become active in the elections by calling KPFT election supervisor Ann Shaw at 713-526-4000, extension 303, or send her an email at election@kpft.org.
There are three ways to qualify to vote and run. Listener candidates can contribute at least $25 to a foundation radio station. Volunteers can complete 30 or more verifiable volunteer hours at a foundation radio station. Or a special waiver can be requested from the local station board.
In order to participate, you just need to be a current member of the station.
Complete election information is available on our website at kpft.org.
And contact the KPFT local election supervisor to receive a nomination packet by writing an email, election@kpft.org, or calling 713-526-4000, extension 303.
Nomination for the board are open now and will continue until July 15th. After the nomination process is complete, we'll post candidate data online and host on-air candidate forums and throw a few Meet the Candidate events around the community. Qualified voters will receive their ballots in the mail starting August 29th. Completed ballots will be due by October 15th.
Remember, July 15th is the deadline for nominations. This is your Radio for Peace, listener-sponsored, commercial-free, KPFT Houston.
Everybody else stole the pack.
All right. What are you looking at?
Boners.
Again? Oh, my goodness.
That's the name of the website.
Oh, not the kind I was looking at earlier. Never mind.
No.
So, what's on the round table tonight?
Oh, I'm just glad right now we're legit now. We've got all of our election stuff out of the way.
Yes, we
Ooh,
did.
I want to play.
Please.
with an extra five on top.
So.
We did well tonight.
Make sure that you read, understand, and comprehend all the election stuff when it comes in your mail, and check the emails and the website for more details on that as we gear into this election season. And that one was a good one because that explains that weird system that we have of counting ballots. You rank your people, and then once one person moves on, then your votes go to your next person. And it's a complicated version. I was there for one of the board meetings when they were doing a special election, and they have to use a computer to figure out
really
where it goes.
Oh wow!
On that, because only the computer can figure out, you know, pulling this person's vote out and putting this one in. We've got a follow-up here on a story that we talked about at the beginning of the hour of the bar raid in Dallas.
At the beginning of the show, actually. Beginning
of the show, not the beginning of the hour. This is from the NBC5 in Dallas website. For the second time in less than a month, officers with TABC raided a gay club in North Texas. This time they shut down the Dallas Eagle. Gay activists say they feel like they're being targeted. It would be suggestive of harassment. If that is the case, all eyes would be on TABC, said Blake Wilkinson, president of Queer Liberation. It's obviously selective enforcement. I think we're seeing it setting a pattern of selective enforcement. Calls to the TABC were not returned. The Dallas Eagle had its grand reopening party just a few yards from the club's old location. A guard at the club said TABC officials entered about midnight and may have had an issue with the club's license. The address of the liquor license may not have been changed to the new club's address, says the guard.
Well, considering the fact it takes the city government months to do anything, they probably... It's in the mail.
Well, isn't the liquor license, that's from the TABC, though, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Not the city.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not understanding. What were there any arrests? Were there any citations written?
No, apparently the bar was just shut down because it didn't have a proper liquor license.
Because the name on the liquor license was correct, but the address was wrong.
Yeah. Basically, it relocated next... The bar moved next door.
They didn't change the name. They changed the address, and the paperwork hadn't caught up, so let's go raid it.
Yeah, well, basically, that's what they did.
Well,
that's targeted.
Well, what they should have done... and the bar owners probably knew what was going to happen well in advance. They should have applied for that new license in advance.
Well, 10 to 1, they probably did and just hadn't gotten the paperwork yet, but they were probably told that, well, since it's still the Eagle and you're just moving over one, you don't need it until... this other one is still valid. It's just like when you move. Your driver's license is valid for 30 days.
Yeah.
And but, you've got 30 days to go change your driver's license. Yeah.
But the thing is this, you know, in the story that they have here, you know, they talk with this, this group with Queer Liberation... is really all they talk to. There's nothing in there. There's not even talking about liberal action. I'm sorry. There's no talk of them talking to the owners of the club, because I would think they would be the ones saying, hey, you know, we applied for the license. They'd be the ones to say, you know, we applied it. We've got all the paperwork saying it, that, you know, we just don't have the physical paperwork in. And it seems strange that I hadn't seen anything.
Okay. I know Mark Fraser, who owns the Eagle,
yeah.
And I know that that man doesn't do anything that he doesn't cross all of his T's and dot all of his I's.
This is true. Yeah, because I know Mark Fraser, and...
So if there were no citations and there was no complaint and they weren't there because they had complaints that they were over-serving or serving minors, they were just there because the address was wrong, I can tell you from experience that liquor licenses are not issued to addresses, they are issued to people.
Yeah.
Individuals. So this had to have been targeted.
And knowing Mark Frazier, the reason you haven't heard anything from the bar, any response from the bar, is because he's waiting for his lawyers to come out with a statement.
Yep.
Knowing Mark.
Oh, he's not stupid.
Yeah, knowing Mark Frazier, that's exactly what we're waiting for, is for his lawyers to hold a press conference.
So we'll keep an eye out for next stories on that. Like I said, I did a search of Dallas Eagle raid, and this was the only one that came up as a...
Well, there's a raid in San Antonio also, wasn't there? I mean, it's not just happening in Dallas. I think I remember reading something last week. There was a raid in San Antonio bar as well.
Let's see here.
So I think TABC is just cracking down on the gay bars all across Texas.
And it always happens around Pride.
Yeah.
I remember 5 years ago, we had one bar that was raided 3 times in one day. The 611.
Oh, my goodness.
3 times in one day, TABC raided that bar. And it was right around Pride week.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about that one last week. Yeah, you talk about one that happened
in San Antonio.
Traditionally, the start of of Pride Week is the traditional raid of Mary's. But
no, right. Well, they haven't done the annual. Well, that stems from reality, and I've asked Mary's to bring that party back because that was such a fun party, the annual raid on Mary's. No, because back in the 70s, the cops would raid Mary's all the time, like on a biweekly. Every 2 weeks, the cops would raid the bar.
They're still doing it.
And so the Fanny, when Fanny was still alive, he started the annual raid on Mary's party. And all of the bartenders and barbacks dressed up as cops in cop uniforms.
Oh, my goodness.
And they wore little piggy snouts on and they set up a jail in the back patio. And, like, Naomi Sims or whoever was the hot drag queen played the judge. And the barbacks and the bartenders could throw you in jail for any reason at all. And it was
jail and bail.
It was a big fundraiser. And she would set the bail. And you'd have to raise the money or get somebody to bail you out. And then all that money went to, PWA Holiday Charities or the Montrose Clinic or whatever. And it started out as a big fundraiser that just blew up in this great party. And for some reason, I don't know why, they stopped the annual raid on Mary's party. And it's like, no, you need to bring this back. That still would be a great fundraiser.
I'm checking here. I'm not seeing anything about San Antonio.
I swear I saw something about one of the San Antonio bars getting raided. What was it, Pegasus or...
I don't think so.
I heard the Pegasus was closing.
Pegasus is closing and moving to a new location, but it was one of the bars in San Antonio, I swear, got raided. I swear I heard that.
I'm not seeing anything coming up here yet.
I can always talk to the chair of Alamo City Entertainment Weekend.
Yeah, they keep talking about Fort Worth here, but nothing.
I heard there was one in Fort Worth also that was raided. Maybe that's what I was thinking about.
There
Fort
was somebody
Worth.
Injured in that, wasn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was one patron who was slammed to the ground and basically was going to have a headache for the next couple of years because of the force used on him. And the Fort Worth Sheriff's Department is talking about not going along with TABC anymore on these raids.
Right.
And doing a little sensitivity training because, unlike Stonewall, there was people with video cameras or the videos on their cell phones. So.
Yeah, that were videoing the whole thing.
And
that's what it was. It was the one in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
That's what I remember reading.
Yeah.
So we've got that.
It'll be interesting to see what comes of that in the civil suits.
Yeah, and they did that on the actual date of Stonewall riots is when they raided that bar.
No.
It was a couple days before.
Yeah, it was before
Yeah, it was
that.
On the 20th.
Was it?
It was on the 25th.
25th, okay.
Yeah, some people, a lot of the news, quote-unquote, blog stuff that came out there had put it on that, and they shifted the days a couple of days.
Okay.
Yeah, there was somebody from Dallas who sent out an email, and somebody that you know, sent out an email saying that it was just outrageous that they did this on the day, the anniversary of the Stonewall riots, and I had to send back an email correcting him, that you're incorrect there.
Probably got a what he probably did is looked and saw when Judy Garland died, and I think it was probably the day she died, and
right.
Stonewall call occurred on the funeral, not the day of death.
Right, which was 4 days later.
It was the 28th.
So that was probably where the miscommunication. A couple kissing stories.
Oh. Let's kiss and tell.
From El Paso, Texas. Two men who kissed in front of one of five Chico's Tacos restaurants in El Paso were kicked out by guards, and local law enforcement supported the ejection, citing non-existent laws regarding homosexual conduct in public.
Oh, my goodness.
The men and three friends were asked to leave after the kiss when security personnel told them they didn't allow, quote, all that faggot stuff. unquote, in the establishment.
And now you know why I moved out of that city.
According to Carlos Diaz de Leon, a member of the group, the men refused to leave, instead calling the police. 1 hour and multiple slurs later, police arrived, and one officer told the men same-sex kissing is illegal in public, and they could be arrested.
Oh, please, give me some jewelry, take me away.
A little bit of editorial in here from the writer of this. The Supreme Court needs a better publicist. They threw out Lawrence v. Texas 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Outrageously, Detective Carlos Carrillo said the restaurant has every right to, quote, refuse service to whoever they don't want there. That's their prerogative, unquote. The irony was apparently lost on him.
So the next time TABC comes in the bar, we can just refuse them service and tell them to leave? Is that what we're saying?
Honey, my cop uniform looks a lot better than yours. In 2003, the chain's 50th anniversary, the Texas House of Representatives honored the family who founded the business. There's mostly encouraging local reviews. This one site, and they also list a way to contact and review Chico's here.
So, yeah, boycott Chico's tacos.
Yeah, all five of them. Yeah. It's easy for us to boycott it. They're all in El Paso.
Yeah.
And a gay couple detained near the Mormon Plaza after a kiss.
Oh.
From Salt Lake City. A gay couple said they were detained by security guards on a plaza owned by the Mormon Church and later cited by police, claiming it stemmed from a kiss on the cheek. Is that how they portrayed Jesus? The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints said the men became argumentative and refused to leave after being asked to stop their, quote, inappropriate behavior, unquote. The men said they were targeted because they're gay. Okay, sorry. Editorial part here. Duh. You were targeted because you were gay, because you kissed a guy on their property.
In front of the Mormon Church.
Okay, here's what we do. From now on, whenever you see straight couples in the Montrose kissing or holding hands, call the cops on them.
Yeah.
There you go.
I've always thought that.
I don't like PDAs anyway.
You're in the gayborhood, honey. You know, you can't do that. You're a breeder. Go away.
Matt Ayoun said he and his partner, Derek Jones, were walking home from a concert nearby on Thursday night, cutting through the plaza near the Salt Lake City Mormon Temple. Ayoun, 28, said he gave Jones, 25, a hug and a kiss, and that the two men were approached by a security guard who asked them to leave, telling them they were being inappropriate and that public displays of affection aren't allowed on the property. He said other guards arrived and the men were handcuffed. We asked what we were doing wrong, Ayoun said, told the Associated Press. Church spokeswoman Kim Farah said in a statement Friday that the men were politely asked to stop engaging in inappropriate behavior, just as any other couple would have been. They became argumentative and used profanity and refused to leave the property, she said. The church did not immediately respond to a request for more comment. Police later arrived. Both men were cited with misdemeanor trespassing. Doesn't matter what they asked the rest to leave for. They were asked to leave and they didn't, so they were trespassing, according to Salt Lake City Police Sergeant. The church has been a target of protests over its support of a ban on gay marriages in California.
Yeah, they're the ones that gave all that money for Prop 8.
So, two kissing stories that made the...
Oh, and I thought it was going to be something fun, like a senator that got caught in a bathroom again or something. Damn.
No, nothing that good this time.
Yeah, don't cry for me, Argentina.
Don't kiss me in Argentina. Okay? Right. They'll probably shoot you there. They won't even say, please leave. They'll just shoot you. I don't know.
What else you got in the wire, Chris?
Well, a little touch of Michael Savage.
Oh, Lord.
After Netroots and Community Action, Rockstar Energy Drink, the company accused of an affiliation with hate monger Michael Savage and the father of Rockstar founder, is addressing LGBT concerns by releasing a statement affirming its support for gay rights. It's expanding its LGBT-friendly policies and will donate $100,000 to various LGBT organizations.
Cool. Kind of sounds like what we did to Bud Light, huh?
Rockstar CEO Russell Weiner.
Weiner.
Weiner sounds better.
Weiner.
Russell Weiner says, it has been recently come to Rockstar's attention that there may be a misconception about our company's policy and my personal support for LGBT rights. We apologize for that misunderstanding, and we want to make it clear today that our company fully supports our LGBT employees and our LGBT customers. Change.org first posted concerns about Rockstar in April and has been instrumental in making this come about with assistance from a whole bunch of different groups.
Okay, so this company says that they support the LGB community and their LGBT employees. Do they have domestic partner benefets? Let's see how far they actually claim to support their own employees.
Is it Coca-Cola that distributes Rockstar? I can't remember.
Not sure. Let's see here.
Because, you know, they can talk a good game, but do they practice what they preach? Do they have domestic partner benefits for their gay employees?
Probably not.
Let's see. Their websites. Yeah, of course, because they're, you know, this modern hip stuff. They got all these graphics on here, so it's going to take forever and a year to open up.
Well, yeah, I mean, they advertise on logo. They have to be, you know, they have to say that, but do they actually practice what they preach? You're getting a lot of that lately where they say, oh, we support you, but when it comes down to it, they don't. All they want to do
is... Are you talking about the president again?
They just want to rape our wallet. They want to pretend they like us so they can rape our wallets. That's all they're doing.
I'll have to look a little
bit... Personally, I don't drink those things. They taste like crap.
I have to look a little further into that. Their website's a little harder to navigate around quickly.
Arriving.
Huh?
The next show. Okay.
Let's see. Let's go with a cutesy story.
Are we going to talk about the rugby player who pooed?
No.
Darn.
We'll save that for when we have the rugby team on.
Okay.
Gay loggers reach goal to protest as planned. The Green Coalition of Gay Loggers for Jesus will march on Main Street as planned July 4th, said the organizer of the group Thursday evening.
So they really do say, get off the wood, get off the cross, we need the wood. Is that what we're saying?
Some guys have major wood, I guess.
Organizer Brian Lena had set a 5 p.m. deadline Thursday to reach his fundraising goal of $1,100, the amount the city of Bozeman, Montana, estimates it will cost to shut down the downtown thoroughfare for the morning protest. Leland said Thursday he had raised about $1,500. The $400 difference will be given to a local food bank. The Green Coalition of Gay Loggers for Jesus was formed to protest how the city went about granting Bozeman's Tea Party request for a permit march down Main Street on July 4th. City staff initially denied the Tea Party's request to cordon off the streets for 2 hours while they protested government spending, the growing national debt and taxes. But following pleas from the members of the Tea Party, the commission recommended 4-1 that the staffers reverse their decision, which they did. Leland said the city violated open meeting laws since the discussion was not publicly noticed. And it was also hypocritical of the group to protest government spending while forcing the government to incur costs and thus emphasizing the raising of the $1,100 before marching.
Well, you know, they probably would have gotten the permit if they would have been if they would have had a tea party with cucumber sandwiches. If they had finger sandwiches, they probably would have gotten the permit. I mean, if you offer just tea with nothing else, come on, boring. You need some finger sandwiches.
How about just crumpets?
Crumpets, okay, yeah. Biscotti, something. I mean, you know, even if it's like tea and corn chips. I mean,
corn chips?
You know, you got to offer some munchies. Tea?
Yeah.
Well, if it's the right tea, yeah.
What about a recipe for disaster?
Talking about a sweet tea, then, not a hot...
No, I'm thinking Long Island.
But the Green Coalition of Gay Loggers for Jesus March...
you just love saying that, don't you?
That's why the hell I picked this story. The Green Coalition of Gay Loggers for Jesus. It may not be a gay group. It's probably not a gay group. It's just a cute name
for
an organization.
They're just really happy lumberjacks.
Oh, wait, do you have the...
Wait, I saw that. That was a Falcon video, wasn't it?
Just look it up on YouTube. They have it.
We don't have the
Monty
Python.
No, I think that was Monty Python.
I'm a lumberjack.
Yeah,
Jack and I'm okay.
Sorry,
not this time.
That's okay, boy. George put out 3 albums under the pseudonym Jesus Loves You. So you know, for those of you who want some mindless music trivia, yeah.
As long as he doesn't use Jesus juice. But anyway,
no. No, that would be somebody else.
And he's no longer with us.
I picked the story and I didn't get a chance to read it, see where they had the gay issue on here of talking about what birth order you are helps.
Oh, yeah, they always say the middle child is gay. Yeah, the birth order.
Yeah, supposedly they did a new thing here.
And if the youngest child is a male, he's going to be gay. And if the oldest female, the firstborn child is a female, she's going to be gay. Yeah, that's stupid. That's like saying frogs give you warts.
Huh. Yeah, unfortunately.
It's not frogs, it's Circuit Boys. Oh, sorry, Outdoor Voice.
It's not a sin. It's not a sin.
So we're going to avoid South Beach.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Virgin said that, for those of you who wanted to know.
Oh, I left that microphone on?
Yeah, turn his microphone off.
Here's the part where it says, even sexuality appears to be influenced by birth order. The more older brothers a man has, the more likely he's to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
The finding applies only to men. This is known as the fraternal birth order effect, or BS for short.
Exactly.
I'm the oldest son, and I'm the queer one.
Me too.
Likewise.
Since sexuality is influenced by hormones, could it be that the womb environment changes for each sibling, and that this is the key to perceived differences?
I was a firstborn, so...
Genetics is what I look at.
If so, then those differences could be biologically present, remain unaffected by how the child grows up. In other words, if you're a second sibling, you'll always carry the lower IQ of a second sibling.
Oh, wow.
I'm the second of six, and my older brother is as dumb as a stump.
Yeah, see, in my family,
you're not much better. You're a box of hammers. I mean, come on.
My oldest
hammers
sister,
or hammer handles.
I am so going to hurt him.
My oldest sister is the dumb one. The middle one, the younger of the two, is the smart one.
Yes, you're hearing a Constantina in the background.
I thought I was hearing things there for a minute.
Nope.
No.
Medical Pasale is
in the house.
If you can't hear it in there, there's a Constantina playing in the lobby.
Yeah.
So you know,
I'm hearing it.
It's time for sea shanty time. Oh.
Wrong. He's so going to die after the show.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's already dying on air, that's for sure. What's next?
Actually, I ran out of stories.
Oh.
So now do we get to talk about the rugby guy making poo in the hallway of the hotel?
Okay, I got to find that story now.
I think it was on Rotten.
Yeah. He claims that he was asleep and just woke up and thought he was going to the bathroom, went out the wrong door and pooed in the hallway.
Yeah, well, hold on a second.
Oh, my God. Was he drunk?
Of the hotel.
Was he drunk?
He's a rugby player.
Death by death by chocolate.
What? Anyway.
Chocolate.
Too many stories to go through here.
There it is.
Hotel poo accident.
Yes.
It's Australian.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not as good as the other. It's not the other good in Australia we saw.
Did he hit somebody with a phone too?
No, but there was another story of another hotel story where a woman got one of those crank callers, crank people that called her up and told her, you know, you need to smash the mirrors, break out the window, throw the mattress out onto the floor and out on the ground and jump out on it. Someone's calling around the hotels getting people to do stupid stuff. There was one a couple months ago in Oklahoma, I think, that the staff actually followed through with and set off the fire alarms and the sprinklers and smashed windows in, and only to find out that it was not a safety test, as the person claimed it was.
Is it the dumb radio show people that keep doing that?
I don't think they found out who those people were.
Because, I mean, those people, for doing stuff like that, they're the ones that should be held financially responsible for that kind of damage. That's
exactly.
Just wrong.
Okay, as a thing I've told my father several times in the past week, they'll put any idiot on the air.
Well, yeah, look at us.
The Red Menace sitting over there is a good example.
The Red Menace.
Okay, the Sydney Rooster in Queensland state of origin player claimed he was suffering a stomach bug at the time of the embarrassing incident and ended up in the corridor rather than the toilet after mistaking the door to his room for the toilet door. Nate Miles, 24, has been out with his fellow Roosters players at a fundraiser, returned to the hotel at 4 a.m. Yeah, he was drunk. I've been asleep for 4 hours. I got up to go to the toilet. It was dark. It was a bit dazed. I went to the door. The toilet was right next to the entry door. like it is in just about every.
I mean, come on, really? Who pinches a log without sitting down? I mean, if he's when you go to sit on the toilet and there's no toilet and your butt hits the carpet.
Hold on a second. There was more to this log than meets the eye.
It was dark. I was a bit dazed. The door was right next. The door shut behind me, and I was stranded. The rooster four said he was naked, had a bit of the
diarrhea.
Problem.
There you go.
The one up his spots.
And could not get back to his room. He finally tried to gain entry into a nearby hotel room where the family was staying. But they refused to let the naked rugby player holding his butt cheeks together. Don't know why. At 4 a.m. Asked if he could use the toilet. He was later found disoriented in the hotel fire escape.
I guess he thought it was the urinal, right?
He has repeatedly apologized for the incident, offered to pay the hotel's cleaning bill.
Yeah, you should.
And has contacted other hotel guests to apologize. He's been suspended for 6 weeks and fined $50,000 by the National Rugby
League.
And this
is what happens when you spend all night drinking and you mix your alcohol. You get diarrhea and you poo in the hotel lobby. Okay? Don't mix your alcohol. Don't do shots and mix alcohol. That's what happens.
I've never had that problem.
But, you know, I mean, here's the amazing thing.
Put a cork in it.
Don't need to. It stays shut all by itself.
Now, this one over here needs a drawstring.
But, you know, it's interesting that, you know, this simple
draw
little...
Bungee cord.
The simple little incident, you know, the national board actually, you know, stepped into it. It'd be interesting if...
They fined him $60,000
for...
$50,000
for... Suspended him for 6 weeks.
For pooing in the hall.
And you know what? Maybe if stuff like happened with the...
Are they putting
football here in the United States? Maybe we wouldn't have so many funerals and arrests of.
Are they putting him on a high fiber diet too? I mean, what are they doing?
Let's just hope his career doesn't go in the toilet after all this is over.
Yeah, because they didn't have to join the loggers for Jesus.
I knew it was all going to tie together somewhere.
Yeah. Why do you think I started out saying he pinched a log? Okay?
Thing is, this wasn't a solid one.
I had to pull the loggers for Jesus back in just for Chris. Come on.
Green loggers for Jesus at that.
Oh, yes.
All right. I think that's about all
I can find. We're coming to the top of the hour.
Woohoo! Good night, kids.
We'll be back next week.
Adico Pazale is right behind us.
You wish.
One is, anyway.
If you have nothing better to do next weekend, next Saturday, check out kpft.org and join us at the KPFT auction.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there.
Remember, it's $10 online at kpftauction.org, $10 at the door with a costume, and $20 without.
Ooh.
You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, and listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT. We'll be back next week. Here it is, your PSAs.
I'm going to be at the KPFT service auction Saturday evening, July 18th. Why? Because I haven't met you. I hear your voices. I know you're listening. I want to meet and greet the listeners and callers from Connect the Dots, The Blues Hound, Echoology, Music Beyond Borders, The Prison Show, Irish Airs, all the shows. Who are the KPFT listeners? Let's find out at the KPFT service auction. Donate services and good stuff to the auction. Wear your favorite song. Food, drinks, music, the KPFT attitude. It has to be good. Advance tickets, $10 online. Details at kpftauction.org.
KPFT attitude may be good for your soul and mind. Tell someone.
KPFT Houston.
The Houston Press Music Awards Showcase, featuring 50 bands on 10 stages. Sample the sounds of over 50 local Houston bands on Sunday, July 26th. Doors open at 4 p.m., bands begin at 5 p.m. Wristbands, t-shirts, and tanks are on sale now at Cactus Music, on HoustonPress.com, and at all participating venues the day of the event. Participating venues include House of Blues, Hard Rock Cafe, Rock Bar, Mosaic, Flying Saucer, Isis Houston, Martell's, Red Cat Jazz Cafe, and Dean's Credit Clothing. Attendees must be over 21. New this year, complimentary shuttle services provided by Super Shuttle. Proceeds benefit the Music Therapy Center of Houston. Coming July 26th. Don't miss this year's Houston Press Music Awards Showcase. KPFT, Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.